WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. We have got a jam-packed show for you. No race winners, but we've got race winners, as is always the case on these in-between week shows. We're getting ready for the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals out there at Royal Purple Raceway in Houston, Texas. I know we got a lot of WFO listeners down those parts, and we have got a great show. It's like a comeback race for Greg Anderson, a four-time Pro Stock champion. He's making a comeback. He's on this show. How about a three-time Top Fuel champion, Larry Dixon? He's making a comeback. He's on this show. So if you want to hear great drivers with a ton of hardware talk about coming back, this is the show for you. Also on the show, we have got, as promised, Scotty Richardson. Six different eliminators this guy has won in. He won competition eliminator out there in Charlotte at ZMAX Dragway. And Scotty going to be on the show, tell about his whole career and where he has been and what he is doing. And will there be a seventh eliminator he tries to win? Stick around for that. Also, we heard Peter Biondo talk about the K&N Spring Fling a couple of weeks ago, and we decided to get a couple of the winners on. It was out there in Vegas. These guys were battling through the shark-infested waters of the K&N Spring Fling. They won. They're on WFO Radio. So a lot of great stuff going on. Get in, sit down, strap in, hold on, get ready, tweet, retweet, Instagram, repeat, all of these things. But it starts off the same way each week with the NHRA's Alan Reinhart. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back. You know, you just made me have a flashback talking about Spring Fling winners.
Yes. Flashing back. Fly, were you there? Were you winning? Did you win the Spring Fling?
I competed in the inaugural compromise race that they did out at Bristol, what was that, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago? I actually competed on Sunday and got crushed like a grape. You're talking about shark-infested waters.
It's tough out there. And do you remember, it seems to be the case that everybody remembers who it was that crushed them like a grape.
Yeah, it'll be a while before I forget. Tommy DeLago is the one who crushed me like a grape.
Oh, that's good. At least you got crushed by someone who's a big name that we all know about.
Yeah, but nobody knows Tommy DeLago as a bracket racer. They all know Tommy DeLago as crew chief for Alexis DeJoria, who's won a couple of races this year. But trust me when I tell you, when he gets behind the wheel of that little green Chevy 2 of his, he's a whole different animal.
I bet. And many of the guys who are crew members on various teams, they work as mechanics on Nitro cars, but they get their racing in sometimes at their local bracket track.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the guys that most guys that are involved in racing at that level got started bracket racing at their local track or going out to the track helping a buddy or doing something like that, and a lot of them still have an interest in it. And I guess, you know, can I use the excuse at the Spring Fling that, you know, the car I had was just such a piece of junk nobody could ever win in it, and it was just, I'm telling you, what an awful piece of hardware, and that was the problem, I think, the car, not the driver.
Blame the car, always a good strategy. Whose car was it?
Dan Fletcher's Camaro.
Yeah, not going to work in this case. Usually a good strategy.
Have a little problem with blaming the hardware on that. Where are we now?
In this case, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan let me take a swing at the Camaro, and I got beat up pretty bad. I actually got beat in the first round with a combination mental and physical error, and then bought back, and then Tommy thumped me in the buyback round, and that was pretty much the end of my Spring Fling.
I always hate the combo mental slash physical error. Those usually take you down.
Well, it in the first round, I actually wrote a story about it at National Dragster a few years back after it happened. And Schooled on a weekend off, I think, if you wanted to Google it. But in the first round, I was running a guy named Todd Whitehead. And I hit the tree pretty well. I was a little late pulling the shifter just because that thing revved up faster than I expected it to. But I was turning around looking, I couldn't see Todd anywhere, and I figured, well, I don't know what happened to him, but, you know, I'm going to ease back off the throttle because the last thing I want to do is break out here. And then, of course, he went flying by me. So when I spoke to Mr. Fletcher after it was all over with, and he said, well, what was that all about? And I said, well, you know, and he says, dude, didn't you look and see how fast he was? I said, no. He said, don't you think that's kind of important? And, you know, that was the issue. I couldn't see him because he was so fast that I was way out in front of him. But he was coming in a hurry. And, so then Tommy pounded me, and I left with my tail between my legs. The upside, if there was one from that weekend, was I certainly wasn't the only guy that left with my tail between my legs, because there's a lot of talent comes out to those big-dollar bracket races, believe me.
Have you raced since then?
Yes, and okay. Also did poorly. So.
Oh, I just want to make sure it didn't, like, and that day did not end your bracket race career.
No, I've raced since then, what, a time or two. I could tell you the story about the time that that Chris Blair screwed me in Las Vegas at the employee race one whatever weekend it was. I think it was Thanksgiving weekend. We had an employee race, and I'm still pretty bitter about that one.
I know that story, though. You were trying to get over. We're gonna have to go in detail on that one of these days.
All right. Maybe next time we've got an off weekend or something,
yes,
we can tell that story. But I was merely following the rules as they were explained to me, and I got punished for doing so.
Operating in the gray areas, as we...
It wasn't a gray area.
Listen, if it's a gray area, there's nothing you can do. Well, we're going to have a lot of bracket racing talk on this show today because we got Rodney Snyder going to be on. He won Super Pro on Friday a couple weeks back, and Ryan Mangus won on Sunday in Pro ET. The kind of cool tie-in is we had Peter on the show to talk about doubling up in Vegas, but also to talk about the spring fling race. The guy he beat in Stock Eliminator to double up was Ryan Mangus, who then goes on and wins the spring fling race on Sunday in Pro ET. He had won the previous year as well and runs in Stock Eliminator. So there's a big connection. Plus, Peter Biondo is one of three drivers who have won in six different eliminators. And Scotty Richardson is going to be on the show for tying that exact feat. It all ties together somehow, some way.
Who's next? Kevin Bacon?
Yes. Well, what did we decide last week? The 6 degrees of... I forget even who it was.
That's what it sounded like. It sounded like you were just 1 degree away from tying everybody back to Kevin Bacon. So,
who was in Quicksilver? And no, I'm kidding. I don't even. Tremors. Tremors is my favorite Kevin Bacon movie. That one was just crazy. Hey, that one had to scare the heck out of you living out there in Arizona. Were those? Did you ever see Tremors?
No, I'm afraid I didn't.
Oh my gosh! Don't watch it. It will ruin your life because they're under you right now. You don't even realize it.
I'm not worried.
All right, we've got business. We got to get into it. We
right.
Solicited some questions, but I do have one more. Hey, Alan, did you see kind of comment? Last week, middle of the week or middle of the show prep, you and I had already spoken. I started to get the news about the History Channel special about Alanabi Racing last week called Rise of the Machines, Ultimate Dragster. And it was a one-hour reality-style documentary about the Auto Club Finals and Sean Langdon and Alanabi Racing, Alan Johnson, of course, the machine with all these great animations, and they were going up against Antron, and they were trying to beat him, and it was back and forth. They would talk to Antron. They would talk to Sean. They would do a like an explosion animation, meaning like all the parts would come off, and you would get to see like the details of a certain aspect of the Top Fuel Dragster. I thought it was great. I really wish we had had more time to make a big deal of it so everybody could watch it. I did let everybody know it was going to be on. It is now available online. Did you happen to see it?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. I didn't see it on TV, but I did look it up and watch it online, and I thought, I agree. I thought it was very well done. I thought it was, you know, some of the technological references to, you know, well, this technology dates back to, you know, 700 years ago in ancient Greece.
The water wheel.
I'm not so sure about that, but I did like the way it was done, and I did like the way it was portrayed as, you know, these gladiators, I guess, for lack of a better word, driving just these amazing machines. And, you know, maybe somebody that saw that, or hopefully somebody that saw that, decided they want to come out and take a look at those things live and in person. So come on out.
Absolutely. I thought it was one of the best things that I have seen on NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, some sort of aspect of the sport, in a long time. It was a great show. Of course, there always has to be one criticism, and since this is that kind of show, I will throw it out. The sound. There was the sound of supercomp cars, like, dubbed over these Top Fuel cars in certain aspects. Do you think that's just because it is so difficult to record genuine audio of a nitro car, even in the pit area? It just overwhelms, like, the audio recording devices?
You know, that may be part of it. It may also be, and I don't know this, I'm just speculating, but it may also be that, you know, that's the sound that somebody expects to hear when you have a car doing a burnout, so that's the sound they use.
Interesting.
You know, the cars, I doubt that there's anybody that's listening to the show that's never heard a Top Fuel car, but, you know, obviously the first time somebody hears one, you know, that's one of the things I really miss about walking through the pits, and the fact that the vast majority of the teams don't whack the throttle anymore when they're warming them up. Used to love watching first-time players. You know, after you've been out there for a while, you know when it's coming. And watching people that had just absolutely no idea what was about to happen jump 2 feet off the ground when somebody smacked the throttle in the pits. So, you know, I kind of miss that aspect of that. But, yeah, it's difficult to explain to somebody who's never heard one just exactly how loud and how violent they sound.
There is no explanation, and that's part of the fun. That's why you got to come out to the track. All right, speaking of coming to the track, Houston this weekend, Royal Purple Raceway, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Spring Nationals. This last year was the big live TV event, and there's been some news regarding television as well. This is a track that they had some battles. There was dust blowing on the track. It's actually very exciting that we're headed back there and getting ready for another Spring Nationals.
It's just such a great racetrack. You know, the Angel family that owns the place now, and Seth in particular that's keeping an eye on it, he's a guy that's not afraid to go off the beaten path a little bit with some of his promotional stuff and some of the things that he likes to do at the track. And, you know, this track has been a favorite of the pro stock racers for a number of years. They used to all go down there and test and spend a lot of time. You know, there was always a preseason pro stock race down there as we headed to Pomona. But if the weather's decent, you know, big numbers, terrific facility, and Texas-sized crowds. So just like I said, every week, give us good weather, we'll take it from there.
I totally agree. And regarding those live TV events, it came out last week. You know, they time the news releases right as we do the show, Alan. We got to talk with someone. Tell them to hold all the news for us. But Epping, New Hampshire, Chicago, and Denver, all races that I will be at, which is exciting, they're going to try to do the live television again.
Looking forward to it. I thought it was a lot of fun when we did it before. You know, from the track side of it, it's a little bit different challenge for us, just because the way they do the schedule and the way that, you know, they set the schedule up to basically ensure that nothing will interrupt the live television. So that gives us an opportunity to do a little more tap dancing and fill in with some more stuff doing the live show at the track. But, you know, it's a heck of a challenge for the ESPN guys to do. It's definitely a challenge for the teams when they put them on that lightning-fast turnaround to make it all fit in the window. And, you know, what's the over-under on how many times you're going to see that shot last year of Travis, who does the clutch on Tim Wilkerson's car, before the final, after just the mad thrash day when it was a pretty warm day out there anyway, and they were turning that thing around in, 45 or 50 minutes? It's definitely... You know, it wears a little bit on the crew guys, but it's exciting, too, because it's just one of those, you know, it's almost like going into a two-minute drill. Can we get this done? And, I haven't heard anybody say, hey, we hate it. And, you know, the fact that you can watch on TV, be absolutely 100% up to date, and, you know, you don't have to worry about stumbling across the news before the broadcast is on, I think is good. I think it helps legitimize our sport to a point. So looking forward to all three of them.
The social media pop is a big deal. This past week, not that Twitter is the end of the world one way or the other, but it's nice to see that NHRA is trending on Twitter at times. And while we were in Charlotte, I looked down. Hey, look, we're trending on Twitter. How cool. NASCAR is often trending on Twitter, and you're a person out there, and you're like, what is this NHRA thing? And you might click on it, and who knows? The live TV did really good things with the social media world, if I recall.
And, you know, and again, hopefully it'll continue. That's just a great trend, and, you know, I don't know that we'll get to the point, at least not in the real near future, where they're trying to do them all that way, but, you know, I think that... You've got to test the waters, you know. See, A, is it feasible? B, is there a reason to do it? You know, is there a return on all that's invested, and not just from a financial standpoint, but from an effort standpoint and from the team standpoint? And, you know, is it worthy of expansion? So, you know, once last year, three times this year, that's certainly a positive step.
I like it. I like it a lot. Now, it is an off week. We have solicited questions. But also, yeah, I know, you're bummed out. But
I was hoping we'd kill enough time with bracket racing stories.
That's why you tried to get that one in there. I sensed that. Honestly, though, it is kind of cool that we got Greg Anderson and Larry Dixon both making their own form of a return this week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Larry, of course, will be driving the I'm not sure if it's going to be the Case Hole Solutions car or the Total Energy and Service car, but it'll be the second Bob Vandegrift car. It'll be neat to see Larry back out on the track, and you know, obviously first-class equipment. You look at what Bob's been doing the last couple of years, and I had not officially seen that Greg was going to be back, but if you say so, then your word is gospel with me, and boy,
breaking news, folks.
Wouldn't want to be him the first time he pulls the parachute. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we will be speaking with Greg just minutes from now about all of this, and we will see what he has to say, but I will tell you that he is making plans. They are rocking out over there at KB Racing. All right, let's get into it. We got a couple of voice questions. People can click the new Skype button right on the front page of WFOradio.com. If you've got Skype, it'll go right to our voicemail, or you can call 954-889-6796 and leave your name, your question, where you're calling from, your rant, your thoughts. And we got a couple of those. We got a couple via email and some very interesting things. Now, this first one coming from Vegas. You ready, Alan?
Yeah, let's go. Have at it.
Here we go.
Hi, Joe. This is Russ in Las Vegas. Hey, love the show. I listen to it faithfully every week. Comment first. I think doing four wide in Las Vegas would be a great idea. It would give a great boost in the arm to the spring show, like you said, in Vegas. I'd love to see four wide come here. So I know John Force mentioned it in his interview briefly. Anyway, I think it's a great idea. Question for Alan. What kind of fuel do the Pro Stock cars run? I know it intrigued me when Jimmy Lund mentioned in his interview with you that the difference is they run unleaded fuel across the pond. So I was curious what they run here. All right. Keep up the good work. WFO.
Prototypical question right there. Excellent job.
That's one I know. Yay! Pro stock cars on this side of the planet and pro stock motorcycles as well run VP C25, and it is a spec fuel that everybody has to run. You know, that came into play, I guess it's been about 10 years ago. It was during the time that I was working with David Nickens, so I was kind of in the middle of all of that. A few of the teams were kind of doing their own mix and playing with some pretty exotic stuff as far as the fuel went. And NHRA decided that was a road that they wanted to stop people from going down because, you know, basically a team with a big budget could hire a chemist and make pretty significant power gains just by doctoring fuel. And when I say doctoring, there was nothing against the rules about it. The fuel had to meet basically a specific gravity spec, and as long as it did that, it was legal. But, you know, the determination was made that there's no reason to make everybody spend all this money. Let's just keep this really simple, and it'd be pretty easy to police if we had a spec fuel. C25 from VP was determined to be that spec fuel, and it has been ever since.
And in Formula One, they actually do their own fuel chemistry type things, and that is a huge source of both sponsorship, because you want to have a deal with a fuel maker, but at the same time, it costs a ton of money, and everybody's is unique to them, and it is just a huge expense. Now, you noticed, Alan, he mentioned four wide in Vegas. That's something that after your segment, Antron Brown brought it up, He said, I think we should build those other two lanes at Vegas. I was like, really, Antron? He's like, yes, we should do it. I asked Robert Height. Of course, these guys both won, so they're pretty happy about it. Robert Height said the same thing, so we put it out to the audience. What do you guys think? And received, I would say, 50-50 yes or no on adding the two lanes at Vegas to help the spring race as a form of growth, FYI.
You know what? I'm going to leave that up to guys that are smarter than I am and have more of a financial stake in it. You know, doing it once a year at Charlotte, I think is great. I really enjoy the show they put on. Obviously, the stadium that they race in out there is spectacular. You know, is it something that needs to be expanded? I'm not 100% sure. I could go either way. If they decided that, hey, we're going to do that, you know, we're going to go ahead and build out Vegas, put the other two lanes in, and run one of the two Vegas events four wide, I'd certainly be okay with it. But I'm not going to sit home and cry if they don't. You know, we've seen so much history at Vegas, and Vegas is such a fun race anyway. I don't know that it's something they need to do. You know, would it help expand the spring race? Yeah, maybe. Would it give West Coast guys an opportunity to see four wide without having to travel all the way to Charlotte? Well, it would certainly do that. Is it worth the time and investment that it would take to do it? That's something I don't know. And you know, Bruton and Chris Powell and Jeff Foster and the guys at Vegas will have to make that decision.
And we've got a new segment called Spending Other People's Money.
Then I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
That's where we discuss these kind of things. All right, next question. You can always email them for Alan Reinhart, joe@wforadio.com. This one coming from Carol in Virginia. Saw that stat about female winners coming up. Who has the largest percentage, and how much did Angelle contribute? Have you heard what she is up to lately? Says Carol in Virginia.
Oh, that's an easy one. The largest percentage of wins on the female side is Angel. She won 41 races in Pro Stock Motorcycle. Shirley Muldowney, with 18, is second among active drivers right now. Believe it or not, Erica is the leader in the clubhouse there. She's got 7 wins in Pro Stock, and, of course, Alexis has hers and Courtney has hers. But Angel, with 41, has the lion's share of those things. And I heard a rumor, I'm not saying it's gospel truth, but I heard a rumor that the NHRA reached out to Angel and asked her if she would like to come be their guest at the Houston race. Obviously they're playing the media game here with this race to 100 for females when everybody else is racing to one, basically. So I'm looking forward to, if she does actually come out there, getting a chance to catch up. I know that, you know, she's married. She's got her daughter at home. She's got her business at home in Louisiana, and the last time I spoke to her, she was just kind of enjoying the domestic life. But if she comes out to Houston, it'll be great to see her and hear from her and catch up. But that's the answer to the question is Angel has 41 of those 98 that are on the board right now.
And just to qualify the stat, the next win by a female in the professional classes, Mellow Yellow Series, correct, will be the 100th win by a female.
No.
No?
No, 99th. They're at 98 right now.
Oh, I understand. We are at 98 right now, so we have two to go.
Yeah, they had the opportunity last weekend. If Erica had won in Pro Stock, that would have been 99. And then if Alexis had won in Funny Car, that would have been 100. But right now the count's down to 98.
Well, that adds some strategy to the whole deal, though. I'm sure that whoever you are, if you're a lady racer out there, you would love to get that stat. That's a huge stat to have on the resume.
Yeah, and NHRA actually has made a special trophy that they're going to present to whoever wins the 100th for a female. It's a special edition Wally. But yeah, I think it's kind of interesting because for those who don't know, the female racers that are out there right now have, I don't know if club is the right word, but you know, Erica and Courtney and Alexis are good friends. They root for each other. You can throw Brittany into the mix, and I believe Leah as well. Erica, when she won in Vegas, was really bummed that Alexis wasn't there to come be in the winner's circle with her. And it was just because, if you remember Vegas, with the weather and the wind and the stuff that was going on, the Funny Car final was run a couple of hours before the Pro Stock final, and Alexis had left with her team to go have dinner and celebrate by the time that Erica ended up winning the race. So, you know, both of them were bummed. I know they were texting back and forth and keeping track that they didn't get a chance to have their winner's circle photo. Erica and Courtney, when they both won Seattle, made a big deal about the two ladies in the winner's circle and congratulating each other. So, you know, they are all pulling for the others, except, I mean, think about this. Now, hypothetically speaking, let's say Erica gets to the final in Houston. Let's say Courtney gets to the final in Houston. Let's say Brittany gets to the final in Houston. Well, if you're Erica and you win, your chances of being the 100th winner now are very slim because there's probably a pretty good possibility one of the other two girls is going to win. If you're Erica and you don't win, well, then are you rooting for one of them to win so you'll have a shot at it when we get to the next race or not? And it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. If we have two female winners at the same event, then obviously the second one to cross the stripe will be the 100th. If we have one, then it's going to be game on. And at that point, obviously, Erica or Angie Smith, or depending on whether there's motorcycles at the event, will have the opportunity to be the 100th. So it'll be fun to watch it play out.
I like it. I like the fact that this is on the radar. We're two wins away. It could happen at any time, or it could take a couple of events. You never know. And whoever achieves that will get a huge pop in their everything. Social media, they'll probably be on the cover of National Dragster, almost certainly, although it is not my decision. It'll be very interesting to see who can achieve that milestone, the 100 mark for female winners in NHRA drag racing.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have to wait long. I mean, you look at how Eric is running this year. You look at how Alexis is running this year. Courtney hasn't been in the winner's circle yet, but that car obviously is running well enough that it's capable of winning at any time. Brittany obviously has been making strides, made it to the final out there in Phoenix, and she's getting closer to her first win. So, it'll be very interesting to see just exactly who does end up with that trophy, but I don't think we're going to have to wait very long to find out.
Next question, this one coming from our great friend Craig in Seattle from the Northwest Nitro Fanatics, who are also failing in our WFO Fantasy League. I just want to put that out there. Let's see what Craig has to say.
Hey, guys. Craig from Seattle here. I hope this comes in okay. The weather here is freaking nasty this morning. But, hey, I hope you guys had a good Easter, too, by the way. Hey, Joe and Alan, I know Joe's been talking about turbo technology and F1. And we got turbo cars and Pro Mod and Top Sportsman and classes like that, and they're really cool cars. I personally like the blowers. I like the, the loud and all the big noise. But has it ever been discussed? Is it even possible, or is this even just plain dumb to ask? Could you get a turbo vehicle to go as fast as the nitro cars and Tony Car or Top Fuel? Has that even been looked at, or would the cost be too much? And as far as it even possible. And anyways, I appreciate it. Guys, take care and have a great race down in Texas. Talk to you later. Bye. WFO.
So Craig goes somewhere that maybe sacrilege years ago, a turbo, nitro. Is it possible to go as quick as a Top Fuel car?
I don't believe, and I don't know this for a fact, but I don't believe the technology exists for a turbo to live in a nitro environment. When you think about the flames coming out of the headers on a Top Fuel car, how much force there is, the downforce that's created, and the fact that it actually will steer the car back and forth if a cylinder quits firing. I don't believe that the technology exists for a turbocharger to live in that environment. I think that it would either A, blow it right off of the headers, or B, melt it down before you got any place. And that's just my first thought off the top of the head. I don't have any evidence to back that up, but I don't believe that there's a turbo that would live in that environment.
The idea that the Nitro Hemi has been the king of machines or internal combustion engines for as long as we can remember, as far as I'm concerned, and just in terms of brute power, force, the things that we appreciate, is it even possible that something could be rivaling it at some point? These Pro Mod cars with the turbos are very impressive. Obviously, that's in a full-bodied car. The idea that something could even be sneaking up, something with electronic fuel injection and mapping and all of that stuff, are we getting to the point where we need to consider that something could potentially rival a nitromethane supercharged Hemi?
That's a very tough question to ask. And again, my first thought would be no. Just because nitromethane carries its own oxygen, You know, it's such a powerful fuel. You know, you think about how much whatever the other fuel would be, if it's alcohol, just to pick one, how much alcohol volume you would have to run in order to duplicate the BTUs released by the nitro, the power that is contained in nitro, and then is it physically possible to pump that much liquid into an engine? And, you know, I don't think so. I think, you know, obviously turbochargers make tremendous power. If you've got a turbocharged, you know, 500-inch alcohol motor versus a supercharged 500-inch alcohol motor, I think you can make more power with the turbochargers than you can with a supercharger, and I don't know that there's even a real argument against that. But when you put in the nitro, when you put nitro in as the fuel, I don't believe you could turbocharge a nitro motor, and I believe that the power stored in the fuel overcomes the efficiency of a turbocharged engine, I think.
Interesting. Interesting.
Make sense?
Yes. No, it does. And this is totally unscripted, just thinking about this kind of stuff, which I actually really like. And so I'm going to hit you with another question that I definitely do not have the answer to, and I'm just kind of wondering about it. The other day, you know, I follow the Formula One stuff, and they switched to turbocharged six cylinders this year, and Mercedes is dominating. They came up with a better mousetrap on the clean sheet of paper than everybody else did. And so I was reading a story about why. What is it that they did that improved their engine so much better than everybody else who tried it? And the answer was they split the two sides of the turbo, Alan, the hot sides, like the McDLT of engines. The hot side is hot and the cool side is cool, and they have a long shaft run down the V of the engine with the cool compressor side on the front and the hot exhaust turbine on the back, something that I had never heard of or seen of, but I wondered, is that something that could be beneficial to the people who use turbochargers in drag racing? The benefits were it required a smaller intercooler because the compression side was not nearly as hot. Two, it required a lot less ducting, so less weight, both things that I felt like were beneficial to drag racers, and they were able to actually make it more efficient. Is that a potential technology that could be utilized, do you think, in one of these pro mod cars? Or is it because we're drag racing, heat not necessarily as big an issue because we're only going from here to there?
Well, you know, heat is certainly an issue. You know, you go look at those turbo cars and look at the intercoolers that they do have on them, kind of like some of the old pro charge cars that had air-to-liquid intercoolers. And the dry ice stuff inside the car, you know, Bo Butner ran one of those things, double C altered, I think, in Comp Eliminator. But, you know, intercooling is huge. Whether you're racing 1,300 feet or whether you're racing, you know, 1,300 miles, I don't think it's quite as big a deal in drag racing because it is the short burst versus the, you know, the long extended period of time. I do really like the idea of separating the hot side of the turbo from the cold side, and I'm going to have to look at that article now because I hadn't seen that either, but it certainly makes perfect sense. You know, why would you want to add more heat? You know, when you're compressing air, it's going to get hot anyway. So why would you want to add more heat of the exhaust if you can, if you could split those two up? I think the technology sounds very interesting. Is there a place for it in drag racing? I'm not sure. Will somebody try it? I'm almost positive of that.
It's on the front page of the WFO Radio Facebook page. It's like F1 Times. It's a tech article. And they've got a basic technical drawing of a shaft.
You're like bound and determined to make me join Facebook, aren't you?
I don't think you have to.
Do you get a bonus if I join Facebook?
I don't think you have to join it to look at it. But I might be
wrong.
Every
time I've ever, somebody says, hey, I did this on Facebook. Every time I ever click on it, it says sign in. So maybe I'm not smart enough.
Well, I can email you the link because we are like, I will just email you the link, Alan.
That'd be very helpful.
Yes, so you can avoid Facebook, which now I will say I think is a very good thing. You are a better man for not being on Facebook. Continue the progress.
I think the funniest thing I saw about Facebook was the article one time that said, Facebook is where kids I didn't like in high school go to pretend they're farmers.
Farmers? Why farmers?
Isn't there some kind of farm game or something on there?
Oh, yes, there is. There is Farmville. The worst thing in the world. Like I said, stay away. Now that I've experienced it, I can tell you, just stay away from the Facebook.
All right.
Well, that's it for questions. We got into a nice little conversation there. I wonder, did you get my McDLT reference?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, I did.
The hot side's hot and the cool side's cool.
I think that's a great reference. And, you know, one more thing talking about just the, you know, the efficiency of a turbo car versus a supercharged nitro car, I think it would be like comparing jets to rockets. You know, no matter how efficient you make your jet, the fuel in a rocket is going to overcome, you know, the fuel that you can run in a jet, and they're just, you know, I don't know that you'll ever put them on a level playing field. You know, if you were trying to fly for hours across the continent, then it doesn't seem like a rocket would be the way to go. But if you just need to get like from here to outer space in a hurry, rockets seem like a pretty good technology. They're not interchangeable, and they're so different. I think it would be very difficult to compare the two.
Very, very interesting, and this is why people log on to WFO Radio for these kind of discussions. Now, Alan, we mentioned Greg Anderson. We mentioned Larry Dixon. Talked about it a little bit last week. I just wanted one final thought about it as you guys get ready to go to Houston and the O'Reilly Spring Nationals. Scotty Richardson. This guy entered a very unique group. Three people in all of NHRA history have won in six different eliminators. We're going to talk with Scotty about it. I just wanted to get your thoughts once again on the sheer size of this accomplishment.
I mean, it's incredible. You know, I remember watching Scotty basically when he was just getting started, when he was just getting his feet wet. And, you know, he and his brother Edmund had come from a racing family and come... It's interesting as you travel around and as you get to know people, especially in the bracket race community, there are some tracks, there are some places where the level of competition is so high that somebody that learns to be successful there is going to be successful any place else he goes. Buds Creek, Maryland is a place like that. The bracket program there, the guys are so good. If you race at Buds Creek and you do well, no matter where you go, you're going to excel. There's a couple places down in Alabama that have little eighth-mile tracks that are exactly the same way. And Kennedale, Texas is one of those places, and that's where the Richardson boys grew up. You know, if you grew up playing basketball and every day you were playing against LeBron James, then once you moved on, where are you ever going to play against somebody that has that skill level again? You know, you are going to excel in every other arena you go to. And, you know, places like Kennedale, Texas have just that kind of talent pool. You know, when you look at, you know, all the super racers that come out of that part of the world, you look at, you know, the Heffler family and what they've done year after year after year, going out and winning the Summit Racing ET Championship. There's just so many guys that are down in that neighborhood. You know, Frank Ahotek, Jimmy Lewis, all those guys that spent some time racing in that Shark Tank, and once, if you've honed your skills there, then you're going to be good no matter where you go, and that's where Scotty and Edmund both started at a young age. Were able to go out and do some touring when it wasn't really in vogue as of yet to be a touring super comp guy, and just, you know, kept piling up experience, piling up wins, and I think it's cool that he finally got one in comp. I also think it'll be real interesting now. You know, I'm not sure with Jeg, but I can promise you that Peter and Scotty are going to have some kind of a little side bet on who's going to get the seventh one first. They're both going to be out there in either top sportsman cars, top dragsters, or something, trying to get that other win.
Well, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but most people know that some of the interviews are done in advance, and I have already spoken with Scotty, and I ask him about being one of three is great, Alan. Being one of one is something totally different altogether, and it's about, we know Peter is out there running top dragster every now and again. And Jeg, the pro stock deal, is obviously going to take a lot of his time, but you never know. Whoever can be the guy to win in that seventh eliminator and become the first to ever do it, that's worth something. Again, that's another National Dragster cover.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you'll have a bragging rights at least for a while, at least until you get some company there. I know that Pete has run. I'm trying to think of what are the six that Peter has won in. Has he ever won in Super Street? Because I know he's raced Super Street a time or two.
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up, and I don't have my computer right in front of me. But no, it'll definitely be interesting to see. But I think that those two are going to be trying it. I don't know how much effort Jeggy would put into it, but it wouldn't surprise me at all at maybe one of the sports nationals, if it's an off weekend for the Mellow Yellow Series. If Jeggy doesn't just grab one of the family race cars and go out there and take a swing at it, and you know, we all know, you know, the talent level of those guys. You know, just put me in a decent car, and you've got a legitimate shot at closing the deal. You know, they've all proven it over the years. So, you know, Jaggy obviously has a pretty good fleet of race cars to choose from between his brothers and his nephews. And if he wanted to get out there and take a swing at it, I'm sure Jag has won in top dragster. I don't think he's won in top sportsman. So, you know, maybe he borrows Mike's car and goes takes a swing at top sportsman someplace.
There you go. I think it's another interesting stat that we can track over the next coming weeks and months as we watch these guys battle it out. Alan, great job as usual. Have a great time down there in Houston, Texas, at the Royal Purple Raceway. It will be very interesting to keep track on that new NHRA mobile app and listen to you guys do it. My next race is in the ATL, Hotland of the Dirty South, of course, and I'm looking forward to that as well. Be a couple weeks down the road, but have a good time out there, and thank you so much for submitting yourself to questions from the WFO audience.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad this week. No, Joe, always a pleasure to be on your show, and looking forward to Houston as well. You know, there's all of the great things that we talked about as far as the race, the facility, and all the history at that racetrack. And, you know, like each community has its own little nuances. And the place we stay in Houston, we're at Kima down on the boardwalk. So interesting little nightlife, lots of restaurants, lots of little things to do down there. It should be a fun weekend. Just give us good weather, and we'll take it from there.
Roller coaster down there, too.
Yeah, I learned last week when the guy said, that stuff's going to fly out of your pockets. I said, come on, dude, it's a wood roller coaster. How bad could it be? At the end of it, I was walking around under the roller coaster trying to find all the stuff that flew out of my pockets.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool. It was a good time down there in Kima. Alan, great job. Thank you so much.
All right, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhart joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. And for my money, that conversation right there is enough reason to click subscribe, download the app, and be sure to listen to this show every week. That's why we started off first with Alan. How about that conversation about turbo and nitromethane, and is it possible, and are we even having that conversation? That is the question. I think it's very interesting and intriguing to debate those kind of things, and that, of course, is the point. You can always call in your questions for Alan Reinhart, 954-889-6796, or you can Skype to Skype by clicking the button on the front page of WFOradio.com. There is even a way to do it in the app, the new updated app, which is very, very cool. So thanks to Alan Reinhart for coming on, and thanks to your questions. I appreciate it. And if your question did not get mentioned to Alan Reinhart, it will in the future. It goes into a big pile, and we will make sure that Alan gets that in the future. Now, what do we have upcoming? Greg Anderson is back. And we spoke with Greg, and Greg will be on the show to tell us about what he's going to be doing out in Houston, and it surely is not going to be standing around. At least, that is what it seems like from Greg. So we shall see. Greg Anderson joining us moments from now. Also on the show, right after Greg, Larry Dixon, the three-time Top Fuel champion, will be driving for Bob Vandegrift. And the way that whole thing happened with JR going to Coletta, Bob hiring Larry, I look at that as things working out for a whole bunch of people in a very interesting way, because Larry was looking for the right opportunity, and an opportunity opens up that enables him to be racing this weekend. JR was looking for, had an opportunity, but it was occasional and for the future, and he got an opportunity that he's going to help him right now, and he's already been to final rounds. So everybody wins. Is it easy to say that? I don't know. I don't know all the inside details, but we're going to talk with Larry Dixon about it. And most importantly, at least from where I'm coming from, it's great to have Larry back at the track. Larry Dixon needs to be out on the track on the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series Tour. People ask me all the time, how is it that Larry Dixon is not out there? And I don't have the answers. Well, now I can say he's out there, and he's on WFO Radio coming up just a couple minutes from now. Also, Scotty Richardson. If you follow strictly the Mellow Yellow Series and the Nitro Cars and Pro Stock, you may not have heard of Scotty Richardson, although I think you probably have. Scotty has won just about everything. If you are a bracket racer or a Lucas Oil Series racer, everybody knows Scotty Richardson, every single person. They all know him, everyone. We're going to speak with Scotty. He's going to be on the show after winning Competition Eliminator in Vinnie Barone's machine, that very cool Rayer and Morrison throwback paint scheme, winning the final round in Charlotte. Spoke with him on the return road in front of the big grandstand full of people. They were going nuts. We'll talk with Scotty about bracket racing. We'll talk with Scotty about Lucas Oil Series racing. And now that he's won six, could he go for seven? We will speak with Scotty Richardson on this show. And at the tail end of the show, we're going to hear from the K&N Spring Fling winners, Ryan Mangus and Rodney Snyder. They won out in Vegas. They're going to tell us how bracket racing is something that you can do. You can do it if you wanted to at your local track, and it is a whole lot of fun. I am actually working on my own car because it's time to stop talking about it and start doing it on my own personal level. When will that happen? Who knows? So we got all that coming up on the show. One of our listeners sent me something super cool. I'm going to tell you about it. Marvin, who gave us the bacon recipes, has sent me some cool stuff. I'm going to tell you about it. It is awesome. We've got that coming up on the show. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. It all ties together, like a great rug ties the room together. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School is where you might get your first taste of the acceleration, of the adrenaline, of the fun, of the camaraderie that you can find at your local track. You do the Dragster Adventure, where you drive, you race, you control. You are the person in control of your own destiny. You can even race against your friends. They have a race that they run of all the people that are in the Dragster Adventure. Go to a browser, open it up, go to frankhawley.com, and find out more. It is a very cool thing, and I wish I could explain the difference in sensation that driving a dragster is compared to a regular car. The weight transfer, the way it reacts, being out in the open air with your helmet on, it is just spectacular. You can give them a call, 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it here on WFO Radio. Whatever your questions are, where are they going to be as they travel the country? 866-480-7223 for Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School.
This is WFO Radio.
Am I the meanest?
WFO.
Am I the prettiest?
WFO.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this time?
WFO.
Who am I?
TheCompetitionPlus.com Radio Show of the Year.
WFO.
A milestone for online racing entertainment. Bigger and better than ever.
Life is good right now, Joe. I think it's good for NHRA. It's good for Gary Selby. It sure looks like it's good for Joe Costello.
The world has spoken. WFO Radio is TheCompetitionPlus.com Radio Show of the Year.
Now, when I say, who's the master? You say.
WFO.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found and Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They call them like this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR tailgate party pick show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Get ready for Houston and all kinds of big things happening this weekend. A lot of returns, like the return of drivers that we know and we love. And one of them is a four-time Pro Stock champion. He joins us now, Greg Anderson. Greg, welcome back, literally.
Good to be back, Joe. It's been a while.
How are you feeling? Let's talk health. How are you feeling?
I feel great. I don't think I've ever felt better. I get to drive this weekend. I put a big smile on my face yesterday when that surgeon came in and said, you know what, I think I'm going to let you go. He told me 2 weeks ago he broke my heart before Charlotte and told me I wasn't ready. He didn't want me racing yet. And I've spent the last 2 weeks very anxiously awaiting the next visit with him. And I told him when he walked in the room, if he was going to say no, those were going to be fighting words this time. So he had the right answer this time. He said yes. Give me the green light. It's time to go racing.
I like it. Now, in our archive, and a lot of our listeners go back in the archive, we had an interview just like this at the start of the season, and you were very, very excited and optimistic. And right after that, all of this information came down. That next thing you know, you're going to the hospital, you're getting work done, very serious work. Greg, now that we're on the other end of it, that had to be a very difficult situation for you guys.
It was, you know, and it did catch us off guard. I was kind of unprepared, and shame on me for that. I should have been keeping a closer eye on it, and we should have been able to find this last November when we finished the race season. But I thought I was in great health, felt great, went to the gym every morning, and thought I was invincible, and waited till end of January to take another test, and test come back negative. So it was time to get her done, and yes, it was kind of panic mode. I've never sat out before, and running our two Summit Chevys, and now with Vince Nobile on board with the third Summit Chevy, that's a lot of work for Jason Lyon and Rob Downing to orchestrate and try and get done, and I'm not going to be around to help out. So definitely a little bit of panic, and I had issues that I had to take care of, and they told me it's life or death, so I had to go do it, and that ends up being more important than the race world, even though us racers, we don't think that way sometimes. I told that surgeon, I says, no, I can't do this now. I got to wait till next November. You don't understand. We got to race. He looked at me and said, are you absolutely crazy? And that's just how racers think. You know, nothing gets in our way, and I guess in a way we think we're invincible. So it threw us into cover-up mode, relief mode. We've had a few things to deal with in the past with fires and Ken Black's health issues and stuff. So I guess we were prepared for anything that got thrown at us, and the guys handled it well. They raced great the first 3 months without me and got some race wins, and Jimmy Lund did a great job substituting for me, but now it's a new chapter again. I've got a new lease on life, got new plumbing, got a new valve job, so to speak, and now I'm ready to go race. So we'll see what happens from here on out, but it's been an interesting journey.
It seems like there are a lot of different lessons that can be learned, and I always like to use, for lack of a better term, lessons that are learned on the racetrack to apply to greater things out there in life for the listeners out there. And your health, people's health, like the guy who's the tough guy who's like, I'm just going to ignore that. It'll go away. I know it just hurts, but I'm tough. This might be a lesson to that guy who's out there listening. Hey, maybe go see the doctor every once in a while. Get a checkup.
It's a lesson to everybody. It was definitely a lesson to me. It's an eye-opener. Like I said, we kind of begin to feel invincible sometimes. And no, that can't happen to me. That can't happen to me. Well, guess what? It can happen to every person in this world. And, you know, the ratio of men that do have heart issues and have to have work done is very, very high, and you just got to keep an eye on that stuff. You got to get checked. You got to keep an eye on it, and don't fear it. Go in and tackle it and make it happen. The failure rate on an operation like this is 1%, so it's really, quite honestly, nothing to be scared of. You'll come out better on the end of it. It's just a bit of a low period and a struggle going through it, but it's something that you got to do, and it really, it's nothing to fear. And I went into it thinking it was going to be no big deal. I was a bit wrong. It was a big deal, and that recovery period was tough. Sitting outside that race car was tough, and the pain was tough for a while, but it's all good now. And now you got who knows how many miles tacked on to the end of the odometer that you get to run off. So got a new lease on life, so to speak, and everybody needs to look at it that way and don't put it off any longer than you have to.
What was tougher, dealing with the pain and the recovery of the surgery, which I can only imagine had to be really difficult, It's great that the human body doesn't really remember pain like it remembers like happy moments. Or sitting there on the computer watching the drag racing go on without you. Of course, great results. Jason winning in Pomona, that had to be huge and had to make you feel great. At the same time, being disconnected from the sport. What was tougher on you?
That probably was. And as sick as it sounds, that seems to be more important than anything in life to us racers. We live, we eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff. And, you know, after a while, you kind of come to grips with it and realize that life is more important and taking care of your health and your family is way more important than drag racing. But we as racers, that's not the first thought that comes through our mind, you know. And I've never, ever had to sit on a couch before and watch the races by computer, by TV. It was very difficult. But when we got off, you know, with a win, with Jason winning the Winter Nationals, that was absolutely great medicine for the heart. And, you know, they made it easy on me, and they made it to where I didn't have to worry about this race team. I knew it was in good hands, and they've done a fantastic job, and now I owe them. So it's just a neat feeling to sit back and realize that the team that you've created around you can function without you, can keep going forward. So that's kind of comforting. But at the same time, man, you're doing a burnout in your chair every day trying to get out of that thing and get back behind the wheel. So I've spent the last month trying to convince my doctor I'm ready, and he finally says it's time to go. It seemed like the longest month of my life, but now I'm ready and got all new plumbing inside. So I look for a lot of great years ahead of me in racing, and certainly got a new outlook on things. It, you know, I do realize now that there are more important things than drag racing out there. But when we get to that drag racing, when we get to that racetrack, it doesn't seem that way. That's it. That's all there is.
I think the competition just had a frightened moment out there, because if anything can make a great driver even better, I think, is a greater perspective about where everything falls into place. And you coming back in a car that is the most recent winner on the tour. Let's talk about Jimmy Åland, him getting his win. He had wanted that. He joked with me on the top end at Charlotte that he was bribing your doctors to keep you in the bed for a little longer. Obviously, he got his win. He got to hold the Wally. He got to stand on the stage. It was really a big deal for the European FIA drag racing scene in Sweden. They really took it to another level. It was huge for them. The fact that you guys selected Jimmy, you knew he was going to be good. He came over here, produced, and you now, your car is a winner going into the next race.
It is, and I feel great, and he's done a heck of a job with that race car. He's definitely helped the boys get that car to where it's happy on the racetrack. It makes beautiful runs, and it's great to drive. I got in it yesterday and made a few test laps and just to see how things felt, and the car is absolutely smooth as glass. Jimmy has done a fantastic job, not only driving the car, but helping the guys tune the car and finding a happy spot for it. So I'm coming back at the right time as far as I'm concerned. As far as Jimmy's concerned, he's sad. He's sad today. He's sad he's not going to be able to race this weekend. He's obviously on a high. He really found his groove the last couple of races, and he wants to keep digging, man. He wants to keep racing. But unfortunately, right now, there's only room for one in that car. So he gets to sit and watch on the sideline this weekend like I've done the last few races. And, yeah, it's a tough deal to do, but I'm proud of the man. We enjoyed the heck out of it, and I can't thank him enough for what he's done, and maybe we could do more in the future here. But for this weekend here, he gets to stand outside the car and watch me drive.
Absolutely a great period for Jimmy to come over. I notice you're not doing the silent J, Greg, like we've been taught to do, the Jimmy as opposed to Jimmy. You're not doing the silent J.
I think that would take a lot of practice. I still can't figure out how they do that.
Now, this race last year was the big live TV race, and Jason had a great success. And now you're going back. You mentioned you made some laps yesterday. How was that? Just getting into the car. I don't know that people realize you have to contort yourself to get in one of these cars. Of course, you get used to it after you've done it a few times. But if you haven't done it in a while, I'm sure it's tough. How was all that getting in and out and feeling in the car, and how much time did you spend in? And tell me about those first couple of hits, the burnout, just kind of getting reacclimated.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. One problem was I haven't driven for probably 4 months, so first of all, you got to get in there and see if you still remember how to do it, how to do a burnout, how to leave the starting line. But it really, really went smooth, Joe, and it felt great, and getting in and out of the car was no problem at all, no pain at all. So I had the boys at Simpson build me a special chest protector to cover up the fresh wounds on the chest, so the seat belts were no issue at all. It was really, really, you know, problem-free, and I felt great. Obviously, that was one of the things that the NHRA doctors wanted to know right away. could I get that done? Could I climb in and out of the car in a hurry if there's an issue? And yes, no problem at all. So feel very confident and walked around all day with a big smile on my face, still got it on my face, and I feel great. And we all know this drag racing deal, a huge part of it is in the mind. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know that I've ever had a more positive mind. So I can't wait to get to Houston. It's going to be fun and have absolutely no fear at all of any issues with the surgery and with the problem with the effort that Simpson's put into this deal. It's going to be duck soup.
Now that is all in the rearview mirror and we are just looking at the competition, I'm looking at the points sheet, and I don't ever remember a time in my life where Greg Anderson was not in the top 15. Now, I would imagine that can change very, very rapidly. And right now, you are in a race to make the countdown. I think it is possible. A couple of good performances, a couple of wins. How are you planning that? I know you want to make the countdown. Is it as simple as one round at a time, like we always talk about, one run at a time, one round at a time, and see where you end up?
Absolutely not. Not this year, Joe. I've looked at the top 10 for the last couple months and watched it develop. And if you take a look at that top 10, the way it is currently right now, every one of those top 10 cars are race-winning cars. There's no ducks. There's no easy cars to get around. There isn't a 10th spot really open right now and that you can say, you know what, I know I can get around that guy with a few round wins here and there. I'm going to have to come back winning races or I'm not going to make this countdown. So I realize that it's going to be tougher than it's ever been before, tougher than it's been in the past for people to miss races and make the countdown. But that's cool. That's neat. That's awesome for Pro Stock. That's awesome for Full Throttle NHRA Pro Stock Drag Racing. And I have no earthly idea if I can make it or not. But I do realize if I don't go out back to winning races, I will not make it. So we're going to be kind of the mindset that basically the NASCAR drivers have got right now. It's win or nothing else. I'm not going to worry about counting points. You know, I went around farther than this guy this week or that week. I know going in, I've got a short time to get her done. I'm going to have to win races or I won't be part of the playoffs.
I like that, though. I like that all the points counting. I think NASCAR, you mentioned NASCAR, their new point system. I think everybody is loving the fact that the whole idea of counting points is very on the back burner.
Yes, and that's exactly how I'm looking at this deal, and that's the way it should be. You should be going to these races to win the event. That's how we've always looked at it here at KB Racing. We're not happy with a semifinal finish. We're not happy with a second round finish if we make more points than our next closest competitor. If we don't win the event, we're not happy, and that's the way it should be. That's the way NASCAR has finally gotten back to. That's the way it is in drag racing, and especially in Pro Stock, and especially here at KB Racing. So looking forward to it, and just go see if I can get her done, Joe. It's going to be exciting.
The class has really shifted from a year ago till now. It's amazing how rapidly that change happened with all the mergers and acquisitions and who's going here and who's going there. If we compared who are the top runners right now compared to 1 year ago, just 1 year ago, things have changed dramatically. It seems like last year you guys were working on some things, and this year you might be reaping the benefits. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody has stepped up their game. And, you know, as I look at the points from the outside and put a target on who I think I need to get past, well, obviously, the first place you look is position number 10. Well, who's position number 10? Chris Magaha. I think he's been number one qualifier almost every single race so far this year. So that just tells you what the class is like this year and how deep it is, at least through the top 10 cars, but in reality through 15 cars, 16 cars. So it's cool. It's a good feeling to be a part of it and realize that everybody that races this class absolutely puts their heart and soul into it, and they do everything they could possibly do to make a better mousetrap the next race they go out to. It's not hobby racing. It's not, you know, a sit back and put your legs up on the desk when you have a good weekend. It's when you come home from having a good weekend or a bad weekend, you dig in harder the next week and you come back with a better product at the next race. And that's what we love about Pro Stock.
It's very tough and it is greatly appreciated, as are you both coming on the show. And just in life, we are very happy to welcome you back as a driver. It was cool seeing your last race out there in Charlotte walking around, but it'll be much cooler to watch you out there driving that cool Camaro for KB Racing and Summit. Greg, thank you so much for coming on WFO, and the season starts this weekend for you. I'll be very interested to see how it all turns out. And hey, you never know, we might be talking here next week.
I'm hoping, Joe. I got my fingers crossed. I got a positive mindset going in, so we'll see where that gets me.
There you go. Greg, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Greg Anderson with us here on WFO Radio, and there you have it. He sounds ready to race to me. He is there. He's been cleared. He's made runs at the Mooresville Dragway, which is literally, from what I understand, walking distance from their shop. They can literally just walk or drive the car over there if you want. Made a couple of hits. He's back in the car. Greg Anderson racing this weekend out there at Royal Purple Raceway. Very, very cool. And thanks to Greg for coming on the show, the comeback edition of WFO Radio. And it was great seeing Greg out there in Charlotte, but it'll be much better watching him race. Now, looking at people on the points sheet, though, that are going to fall out of the top 10, you would imagine Jimmy Olland is going to fall out of the top 10. And so there's a spot right there for Greg. He's just got to claw his way up there. And it will be interesting to see if he can do it. I think he will be able to. Immediately, I'm just going to put my prediction in right now that Greg Anderson will make the top 10. And I think he's going to do it by a solid margin. I do not think it will be close. I think Greg Anderson will go the rounds he needs to go to get into the top 10. That is just my thought, though. Coming up on the show, more comebacks. Larry Dixon going to be on the show. The three-time champ, of course, we love Larry. Larry has been on with us many, many times, dating all the way back to my times on 560 in Miami on Saturday mornings. Larry has been a very consistent person on our WFO radio shows. And I'm very excited to speak with Larry. He's going to be out there driving for Bob Vandergriff in a situation that, while it's happening, I think it's a lesson. It's a great lesson to everybody. It's a great lesson that you just don't know exactly where the world is going to take you and how it's going to take you. That JR's got this gig to run part-time with Bob Vandergriff. JR gets called by the Colettas to drive that car, opens up a seat for Larry. Larry is now driving for Bob Vandergriff. And I really think that Bob Vandergriff, who is trying to grow his team, who is trying to continue to emerge as one of the big-time owners out there in Top Fuel, now has got a driver with three championships on the resume that is a very popular guy. Is that win-win-win? Sure sounds like it. Of course, there are always details that we do not know behind the scenes, and that's kind of what makes it fun. Later on in the show, Scotty Richardson going to be on. Going to talk with Scotty about winning in six different eliminators. That was set up by one of our listeners out there. Called the wide open line. Joe, I'm friends with Scotty. I told him he should come on your show. Call him. I did, and here we are. I love when the audience does the work for me. That makes it so much easier, folks. Really, it does. Show ideas, questions for Reinhardt, all kinds of stuff. If only I could get you to write the press release that goes out. Honestly, we do have an email press release that we go send out every week. Who's on the show link. You can sign up for that by emailing me, joe@wforadio.com. That is great stuff. And speaking of listeners out there, we've also got the K&N Spring Fling winners going to be on. Two of them. There were four. We're going to have two, randomly selected by me. But I want to say thanks to Marvin Rodak. Marvin is the gentleman from Texas who sent us the bacon recipes we were talking about earlier this year with Alan Reinhardt, the great bacon recipes. Well, Marvin has got his own business down there in Fort Worth, Texas, called Rodak's Coffee and Grills. Coffee as in coffee, and grills as in barbecue. And they do custom roasted coffee, and they do rubs for steaks and whatnot. And he sent me some coffee and a rub. I got a rub from Marvin. It is Korean black garlic. There is also his special award-winning coffee rub and a regular barbecue. And some wood for smoking in the barbecue. And I think it is great. Thank you so much. It says Go Texan on the bag. And I cannot wait. I didn't want to talk about it on the show until I tried it. So I went out and got a big steak last night and I rubbed it. And it was great. It was great stuff. So Marvin, thank you so much. It is much appreciated. And most importantly, I love the fact that our listeners are out there, successful business people, making their way in the world. And this guy is an award winner, too. Very cool. Marvin, thank you very much. Keep those bacon recipes coming. You know, get out there, innovate something. Bacon cereal. I don't know what you're going to do, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, when we come back, Larry Dixon going to join us here on WFO Radio. First, I want to tell you the WFO Radio app. It's free. That's right, it's free for Android, for iPhone, and updates are happening. You may not have noticed, but updates are happening. Artwork is happening. Things are changing. Things are updating. And we're working out the tweaks. We're tweaking out the works. We're bugging out, generally speaking. Be sure to write us a fantastic, glowing review and then email me the things that you think need to be changed. But bottom line, the WFO Radio app is running wild. and download it in the App Store or Google Play right there on WFOradio.com. You can find it near my column. Oh, yes, I wrote something. We'll talk about that later right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Get ready for the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals down there in Houston at Royal Purple Raceway. And we just heard from Greg Anderson. He's making a return. There's a lot of returns going on this weekend. They're going to see if they can pull some returns out of Royal Purple Raceway. Joining us now, a three-time Top Fuel champion who will be back behind the wheel, Larry Dixon. Larry, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So there has been a lot of moving around and a lot of things happening and almost a musical chairs scenario in Top Fuel with Larry Dixon ending up in the seat of a Bob Vandegrift Top Fuel dragster. That has got to be very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when my name, you know, is in the mix and you actually land in a seat. You know, it was just real fortunate, you know, the opportunity that came with Bob and Case Told Solutions, and it's just, you know, you never argue with fate, you know, and it's just the timing was perfect, and you know, silly season obviously started very early this year.
Yes.
So, glad to be going and being able to run for not just one race, but a number of races.
Yes, and this is something that. A certain amount of stability, at least you know you will be running. What is the exact number as far as you understand, Larry? Is it 11?
Right now, there's 10 on the schedule, you know, between Case Toll Solutions and Total Equipment and Services. Those two, which are companies underneath the C&J Energy banner. So there's, you know, there's 9 races slated. Still working, you know, everything that I've been working on the past couple years, trying to find that right partner. Still doing that, seeing if, you know, being in a ride out there, not having to have a company fund the entire season. You know, we'll get them off the fence. And the same thing with Bob. You know, he's been selling, you know, trying to sell that. And hopefully, you know, my resume will help his cause. And you got a car that's out there running. And you know, we're trying to, you know, come together on this deal and build this program, at least this race car, to be a stronger effort out there.
There are so many angles that I would like to explore because you are in the middle of just such a very difficult thing. You're trying to achieve something that is so difficult. So is Bob. He's out there spending a lot of money chasing the Top Fuel World Championship. He won this race last year, did the run back from the finish line, which is very exciting and excellent for him. And as I talk with other owners, they say Bob is the guy who may emerge as the next big dominant figure in ownership of NHRA Mellow Yellow Top Fuel Drag Racing. Bob has also said that at some point soon, he said flat out, next year, he's going to step out of the cockpit, he's going to go back to part-time driving and watching and try to make this thing grow even more. You, on the other hand, you have been trying to put together your own team and you've been in boardrooms and you've been beating the bushes and really working it. I hope the audience understands how hard you have been working it out there. For the two of you to find each other amid you know, moments of turmoil, there's got to be something going on there, I think.
Well, you hope that the timing and everything and fate and just that it's you know, I hope that it's long term. You know what Bob's going to do, whether he's you know, I know he said that and you know, that's for 2015. Right now, you know, we're working hard on 2014. And it's a great opportunity for myself. It's a great car. You know, Mike Guger's crew chief on that car. I've known Mike for gosh, you know, close to 30 years. So it's pretty exciting. And some of the guys, you know, most of the guys that come on this car are part time. They have full time jobs, and then they come out, you know, because they love the sport. You know, it's why we're all out there for the passion. But a few of the guys that are coming in have won championships. I've worked with some in the past, and so for me it's a really neat deal. And you know, and if Bob, you know, circling back, you know, if he's one of the guys in the future of our sport, and I'm underneath his umbrella, there's nothing to make me happier.
As a 3-time champion, you mentioned your resume, and it is indisputable that when you walk through the pits and you talk to racing fans, one of the names that they absolutely want to see back behind the wheel and maybe even more importantly are confused as to why it hasn't happened yet is Larry Dixon. Larry Dixon is a guy that you can plug him in and play, and he can go out and win races. At least that's what we are about to find out. Now, having said that, Larry, how do you feel about going back to the track and getting in a car that is, at least on the surface, capable of going rounds and maybe even winning races?
Oh, it's done nothing but excite me. You know, the last couple years, not having a constant ride or drive, you never know when you're going to be able to get an opportunity to get in the car. So it's you still go through your same workout regimen, same training and all of that, but there's no carrot out there. It's like I've trained forever, but it was to try and be better, you know, on Sundays, you know, race. You almost train like a boxer. And I haven't had a match in front of me in forever. So now all of a sudden, you know, now there's a race in front of me. And I mean, it's just, you know, you get on the treadmill or something like that, or you get on the weights, you could put an extra 5 or 10 pounds on because the excitement, the adrenaline's there. It's getting you going. You can run a few mile an hour faster. So it's just, for me, it's been nothing but good. It's you know, when you talk about the challenges of getting in a race car, it's not obviously it's not easy. Otherwise, you wouldn't see guys like John Force that has done, you know, everything in our sport. You know, looking for sponsorship for next year for him and Brittany, and so it's a challenge. And you got to find that right relationship and finding a just a driver for hire ride, those are very few and far between. A lot of drivers bring money. That's pretty much it. Or bring the opportunity, you know, for some type of funding to be able to get in the seat. And the rides that I've had in the past, just had to bring my helmet bag, so to speak, you know, whether I was at Don Perdomo's or Allen Abbey. So if you're going to go out there and you got to try and hustle and try and find money, you got to, you know, might as well do your own deal, because it's like I've been around the racing teams at the cars for a long period of time, worked for Don Perdomo and Alan Johnson, and seeing how they work and structure racing teams, championship racing teams. So hopefully some of that stuff that I've seen in my years at both of those places, you know, can add to the mix of what they already have in a great effort with Bob's team.
I'm very excited that this opportunity has come your way, and I think that this is better for everybody involved, like Bob, and for you, and for Jay. I think everybody, this little shakeup, at least from my position, looks like it's been a great thing. I hope you can get out there and get one.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And literally Friday of Las Vegas, me and JR are eating lunch in Brownsburg, and like just talking about, you know, upcoming races and our future and what's going on and all that kind of stuff. And then like the very next day, he's driving Coletta's car, and I'm like, hey, you know, I text him, what's the deal? I go, why are you holding out? And he's like, I didn't know till last night. And then, you know, a few more days go by, and then I end up in his seat. So it was a crazy couple weeks for the both of us, and you know, definitely for the good.
And definitely for the good. It's amazing. At the moment when you think things might be going in one way, suddenly they're going the other way. Managing intensity, I wonder, is that a challenge as well? Because I can hear the adrenaline coming through the speaker right now, Larry. Like, you're ready to bite someone's arm off, which is great, and that's exactly what people want to see. You're going to be out there competing for a Wally this weekend with a real legit shot to win. This is the team that won at this track last year. At the same time, the Larry Dixon that won the championships, that has won so many races on the tour, is a calculated guy. He's a machine that goes up and does his job. Will getting back into that place, that groove that carried you so long, will that be difficult?
Time will tell. I mean, I guess the time slip will tell, you know, on how it is. I'm really looking forward to going back to Houston. I've had a lot of great memories at that racetrack, not just from wins, but you know, when we used to race quarter mile, you know, we were the first team to go under 4.5 seconds in the quarter mile. So got a lot of good memories there. Really excited about it. I might even still have the track record. So it's excitement. I couldn't think of a better place to go than you know, Royal Purple Raceway. C&J, Casehold, and Total Equipment, that's their home track. So, you know, Bob's going to have we're going to have over 600 people coming out, customers and employees and such. This is a huge, huge event, not only for C&J and their companies, but for Bob's team. So to be able to go out there and have a strong effort, run well, and put on a great show is the number one priority right now.
If you were to happen to win the race, are you required to run back to the starting line?
You know what? If he told me I needed to do that, I'd have no trouble. You know, that would be a great problem to have. You know, but it's a cool thing that Bob's done and gotten to do it more than once. And there'd be no better feeling if we couldn't get both cars in the final round and flip a coin to see who runs back to the starting line.
Wouldn't that be cool? I think it's cool talking with you about actually going out there and racing and competing in a situation that you've got a really legit shot. I think Bob's cars are really strong. They are good cars. He's got good equipment, and he's got good people over there, and he has just added to the team resume by adding Larry Dixon. I watched you. We've worked together in the booth at the track, and just seeing you beat the bushes and be there when the opportunity arose, I think it is very exciting, and I am very much looking forward to it. I'm glad you came on WFO Radio to talk about it. You are going to be just overwhelmed with the fans this weekend, though. I'm sure they're really going to be all over Larry Dixon back at the track.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely as excited as they might be. I'm just overly excited to see them too. A lot of action on Twitter, a lot of action on Facebook, and so to be able to go there and have somebody's shirt on besides my own with an actual sponsor on it, you know, it's really exciting to be able to take a helmet bag to the racetrack. It's a great feeling, just like old times, and hopefully. Hopefully it'll be great times as well, too.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. You're an entertainer first and foremost, and just having Larry out there in the mix is going to be entertaining. I know a lot of people are going to be checking it out. Larry, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. I always appreciate it. Maybe we will be talking after one of these events on a winner's edition. That would be really great. It's good that you've got an opportunity out there to show what we already all know, and that you are a great race car driver. It's going to be a lot of fun watching. Thank you so much for coming on WFO.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate it, and we'll see you there.
Larry Dixon will be at Royal Purple Raceway this weekend for the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals, and it will be very cool to see Larry out there. Amazing, the mid-season changes that we have seen. Obviously, there are so much more, so many details to the story that are probably just beneath the surface, but from my perspective here at 20,000 feet or however many feet I am up, it looks like a pretty positive situation for many people involved. Obviously, David Grubnick, who was driving the car initially, if Grubby, we got to catch up with Grubby at some point to find out what his status is. Not currently driving, but still with Coletta. And win-win-win for at least JR, for Larry, for Bob. The Colettas are pretty happy, too. One thing moves, other things fill the vacancies, and here we are. But again, I don't pretend to know every detail of what everybody is thinking, but I'm excited to have Larry Dixon back out on track. How about that? Now, we've got Scotty Richardson yet to come on the show. We've also got the Spring Fling Vegas winners, two of them, that I randomly selected. We're going to talk with these guys. They're bracket racers. So from this point forward, the show is going to take a real Lucas Oil Series turn, because we're going to speak with Scotty, who won Competition Eliminator, driving for Vinny Barone out there at ZMAX Dragway in that Rare and Morrison tribute paint scheme. Scotty is one of the 50 greatest NHRA drag racers of all time, as voted a couple of years back. And now he is one of three racers who have won in six different eliminators. Pete Biondo, Jeg Coughlin, Scotty Richardson. So we're going to speak with him about that. There's a lot of different angles than the Spring Fling winners. But first, I want to tell you about some of the changes that have occurred on WFOradio.com. That is right. I wrote something. I know you're shocked. I've been in the radio biz forever. And it started a long, long time ago, and it was probably a big mistake. But once upon a time, I realized that people were making a lot of money just by talking. And I thought to myself, well, that's a great gig. Now, how I got to that point, it's unimportant. The WFOradio.com website emerged in about 2009, and we started to do the motorsports show that I had done in Miami and then I had done on XM Satellite Radio online for the worldwide audience, kind of knowing where everything was going with the mobile devices and the applications and the internet and broadband expanding throughout the country and throughout the world. So the timing was perfect. We're now in deep. Got a nice audience, got a lot of people out there. We are growing rapidly everywhere. Drag racing fans like yourselves and NASCAR fans and Formula One fans. Log on every week, whether on the application, on iTunes, on Stitcher, or just going to WFOradio.com to hear the show. For instance, on Ignition this week, Fox Sports' Bob Varsha going to talk Formula One. We're going to get into the whole Haas Formula situation, an American Formula One team. We're going to talk about these new power plants. How about the turbochargers? Do we have any pro mod drivers out there that use turbos that could get us up to speed? The idea of splitting the turbo, is that something we're going to see in drag racing? You take the hot side and put it at the back of the engine where the exhaust already is. You take the cool side, you put it on the front of the engine where the compression already has to be. And the only difference is they're split in half by a long shaft. And you save a ton of weight by not having to run all this duct work back and forth. It makes sense. Now, maybe someone's already got it that way in drag racing. Maybe someone's keeping it covered every race they go to so no one sees. Or maybe the folks at Mercedes just came up with the most simple of innovations that will benefit everyone using a turbocharger in 5 years. And they will all be like this in 5 years. I'm very eager to see how that all turns out. Point is, that's the kind of stuff we talk about on WFO Radio. It is an audio show because I'm a radio guy. Obviously, sports radio here in Miami, some television, the satellite show that was a real big thing that led to this, and now NHRA track announcer for certain events on the East Coast, which is a great thing that I love doing. But when people go to the website, what are they going for? To click listen. Many of you may have noticed, click the latest show, Ignition or Nitro. That's it, Ignition or Nitro. We'll put up a nice little story about who's going to be on, but it's really about accessing the audio. Because the audio show is where the audience is. This is what people want to hear. They want to hear the drivers. They want to hear the personalities. And on Ignition, they want to hear us break down NASCAR and Formula One. Of course, our fantasy leagues. But we need a reason for you folks to show up to the website in between shows. And so we're beginning a content expansion. And the content expansion is that I wrote a column. Yeah, I know, I built it up to be very, very big, but it is not. I wrote something. And the gist of the column is that I am going to write a column. I know it kind of simplifies it, but that is also the case. I've tried maintaining a blog many, many times. All have failed. This time is going to be different. Maybe. Check the site. Check it out. New ones will appear every now and again. And here's the logic. The logic is this. I've got a lot of cool, interesting things going down. And not all of them make the show. This show especially. This is an interview show. The reason you've logged onto the show, the reason you subscribed on iTunes, is because you want to hear stars of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series and drag racers talk about drag racing. That's a very, very tight pocket, and we try to keep it in the pocket. Some of the silliness will end up on the website. So check out WFOradio.com, bookmark it, check back. And we're going to continue our content expansion over the next coming weeks and months. I hope I didn't just build that up too much. Don't get too excited. All right, when we come back, Scotty Richardson. We're going to get into it with Scotty. This guy is an incredible resource. And oh, by the way, one of three guys who have won in six different eliminators. And then the Spring Fling winners to bring us home on this episode of WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO Radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO Radio gear. Like the WFO Radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale. Get a hat for your dad. Get a hat for your head. Or a sticker kit for your truck. WFO Radio gear is on sale at WFOradio.com. Get some.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio. NHRA Nitro.
Joining us now, Antron Brown. Now, you told me on Thursday you got the WFO Radio app. I did not know that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to have the WFO app, brother, so you can keep up. For people that just are a fan of the sport, all they got to do is turn on WFO if they miss the race, because you get to hear the side-by-side blows from the winners, everybody that was there. You got Al Reinhart on, and you do a great job, you know. I mean, you put out all the different perspectives of NHRA racing. I told you, not only am I just a professional racer, NHRA racing, I'm a fan of this sport, and I love it. And if you're a true fan, you got to have the WFO app.
For more with the stars of drag racing, download the WFO Radio app. Available in the App Store or Android Market. Motorsports entertainment, full interviews with weekly winners, videos, push notifications, and more. Download it now. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, and what a show it has been. We're getting ready for Houston at Royal Purple Raceway, the Spring Nationals, the Riley Auto Parts Spring Nationals. But we are wrapping up some loose ends from Charlotte as well. I told you last week we had a high likeliness of having Scotty Richardson on the show to talk about winning a competition eliminator, his sixth different eliminator. He joins us now, one of the NHRA's top 50 drivers of all time, Scotty Richardson. Scotty, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me, buddy.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, and thanks to a couple of your friends for reaching out and putting us together. We were standing on the return road in front of a giant grandstand full of packed Carolina drag racing fans. They let out a tremendous roar when you won your sixth different eliminator. I know it was a very emotional moment being able to bring that home. Tell us about the aftermath when you left the track, when you loaded up, now having won six different classes.
Man, it's, you know, I've kind of been away from NHRA for a while. I stayed home doing the family deal, and it was always a goal. I'd always wanted to win the classes that I'd run. So after Matthew, it probably didn't sit in really good at first. I mean, as far as much as it should have at first, but actually, after everybody's been calling some sponsors from the old days and friends from the old days, it's kind of meant a little more. Been a long road, and just to be able to be able to win in six different classes, to me, it just says that you know, I could maybe run the pro tree or I could run the full tree, and you know, might take me some races, but I can adapt and get comfortable in the cars.
Absolutely. And competition eliminator, such a tough class. But also, for many of the Mellow Yellow Series fans, we try our best to get them up to speed. And frankly, I'm trying to get up to speed with all the details of each different class. One of the more complicated classes of NHRA racing.
Yes, very, very complicated. It's completely something different that I'm accustomed to. It's not the normal bracket racing or super class index racing kind of deal. It's actually, you get penalized for going too fast, kind of like bracket racing, but you want to go as far under as you can, but you don't want to go too far under. And, you know, you've got cars from roadsters to cavaliers to dragsters, and what they do is they factor horsepower with the rating of the engine and weight. And they come up with an index that you can run, and then, you know, in our car, we've got Tom Martino, the ex-pro stock guy, building our motors, and we actually have a lot of extra horsepower. So to me, driving for Vinny and Tom Martino doing the motors, I feel like I have an advantage before we even get started.
It was definitely cool to watch, and you guys are running that, what would you call it, a Rare and Morrison tribute paint scheme back to the early 80s? Looks like one of those old Lee Shepherd cars.
Well, that's really what it is Lee Shepherd, anybody that's been around racing, Lee Shepherd was pretty much probably the best driver. Between him and Blaine Johnson, to me, they were the best drivers that, it was cut kind of short, tragically, and I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas, which Rare Morrison shop was only 20 minutes from where we grew up. So I was in the heart of the Rare Morrison era and the area, and just, you know, Vinny Brone, even though he's from New York, his favorite driver and team was Lee Shepherd and Rare Morrison. So when he put this paint scheme together, I think this is
getting to the end of his career as far as where it's a owner or driver. And he said, you know, it's kind of funny. He says that he used to have chill bumps when Lee Sheppard pulled into the water. And he said since he's painted it and I started driving it, he says it kind of brought things back to where he's got that same feeling when we pull into the water. He gets chill bumps. So, you know, these are guys that are like our idols, or were our idols, and to be able to go down the racetrack and put it in the winner's circle, it's just kind of like an honor, almost like Lee Sheppard and Rare Morrison's kind of riding with us.
Did you hear from those guys, David Rayer at all, or any connection to those guys? Because old school drag racing fans see that car and instantly make the connection.
Yeah, I actually called and talked to them about it, and they were kind of, they thought it looked really nice and stuff when I first started, because I'm from the old school. You know, Vinny just did it and thought they would really like it, which they do like it. But I'm from the old school and kind of just told them that I was going to drive it, and I wondered what their thoughts were, and they really thought it looked good, and it was kind of, they took it as kind of like, I don't know, we were kind of a tribute to them, so they kind of took it the way I envisioned, and I hope they would, because, you know, no matter what, the Rare Morrisons, the Bob Glitton, the Warren Johnson were the guys, Butch Leal, those guys were the pro stock guys whenever I was growing up, and no matter if I was a top fuel guy or funny car guy, you know, Bernstein and Snake and Mongoose and those guys were our heroes. So, you know, I think we've kind of got away from the sport a little bit. Being away, it's you know, the hard-nosed guys like we were when we were younger, to me, it's not the same anymore. We need to get back to the kind of the grassroots part of it.
You had mentioned you'd been away for a while, and obviously family obligations and all of that comes first. I was surprised. 2005 was your last national event win, so a bit of a drought in that you were not pursuing this. You've been doing some bracket racing, and I know you have an online bracket racing school, which is very cool, and helping develop other drivers. I wonder, do you realize how many young bracket racers are looking up to you and your brother Edmund in the way that you might have looked up to Lee Sheppard?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny that you say that. I actually had a kid that I got to spend some time with at North Carolina and Virginia the week before. His name was Kyle Katera. That is one of the best drivers I think I've seen in a long time. He was doing a little bit of struggling, trying too hard, and we changed a couple things, and he actually won a 10 grander this past weekend at ADCO New Jersey. And the funniest thing about my school is when I lost the eagerness to go down and race. And what was funny is one of the sponsors, Jed Coughlin, actually is the one that gave me the idea to do a school. And whenever I did the school, I really fell in love with it because it filled something that I got burnt out of racing every weekend for 20 years. And even though we was doing good, it turned into where I felt like it was a job. So I wasn't having no fun even when we were winning. And what I did is when I started doing the schools, obviously I got to plug it, www.schooledbyscotty.com. I've got it where it's online through videos if somebody doesn't want to come to the track when we go to a track. Or they could do whatever they want to do. And I'm kind of like a coach 24 hours a day. It's kind of funny because we're just old country boys that, you know, it's just a mathematical mind game. Anybody can do it. You can win in any given car, but you got to have your mind right, and that's kind of what I do. I'm almost like a math teacher and a psychologist at the same time. You know, to me, it'd be great if we could lean on somebody that we look up to or has proven themselves for a little coaching, because no matter what, that's even me, whenever I'm driving, having Anthony Bertozzi or Benny open the door and say, everything's all right, do what you normally do, no matter if I need it or not, it's a confidence builder that somebody actually believes in you. And to me, that's the way it is. I'm kind of brutally honest in what I do with all the people that go through my school is I try to cut the corners and the learning curve and make it where it happens immediately.
You mentioned a mathematical mind game. I am a former bracket racer, and I have done okay over the years, and I enjoy it. And I think it's the kind of thing that other people, especially let's call a NASCAR fan, you know, a guy who aspires to be in a race car, but there is no chance that that is going to happen just in terms of budget, in terms of everything. It's not possible. But they could go out and bracket race at their local track and build the camaraderie. In fact, on this show, we're going to have two of the K&N Spring Fling winners on. It's just a hard sell to get them out of there, because so few people are exposed to it, but it is so much fun. What would you say to the people out there, Scotty, who are like, man, I've been hearing Joe rail on this for a long time, and these guys sound like they're having fun, even if they're running 15 seconds out there?
Well, I always say there's always a place for everybody, and to me, the whole deal with bracket racing, what intrigues me about bracket racing is you can take somebody that's racing for 30 years, and they could have a $100,000 dragster, and they could actually run up against somebody that's never raced before, and they were in a Neon, and the head start and the reaction time and the time, the Neon could beat the guy in the dragster. And the deal is if you're a competitive person and you like to go faster than normal, to me, drag racing and bracket racing is the way to go. It's legal, it's safe. And I think a lot of times it's not explained right, but it's hard to explain sometimes. You got to have some kind of background sometimes. But in reality, my wife that's never been around racing before, I took her out once in her Altima, and it was just a street race, and she got runner-up. And the one that beat her was a guy that races all the time. And actually, she didn't get beat on the tree. She just, I misdialed her. So it really was the crew chief's fault. So to me, it's so fun to go out there and be competitive in a street car. It's so fun just to be at the races and listen to the noise and the smell of the race cars. And racing's completely different than most other sports because you can actually go hand in hand with the guys that are the stars. And to me, I still think that always separates drag racing from any other sport.
Jed Coughlin Jr., Pete Biondo, Scotty Richardson. Three guys in NHRA history that have been able to win in six different eliminators, and all pretty much household names among other racers and among people who hardcore follow the sport. You mentioned when we were doing the post-race interview that Jeg has been a real focal point for you in your career. You always looked up to Jeg, even though you are the same age. What do the three of you have in common? What is it that makes someone able to just jump from car to car, different styles? Of course, Super Street, Super Gas, and Super Comp, similar. Competition Eliminator, totally different. Stock and Super Stock, totally different. Just a lot of different variations, but success in each of those classes for all three of you.
Well, first off, it's funny. We've got one that's from the East Coast. We've got one from Ohio, and we got a kid from Texas. Obviously, I think the Texas guy's a lot better. That's just an inside joke. But but in reality, you know, when we grew up, we understood that your driving style has to be number one. And what you do is, in reality, we don't change a lot of driving style. We change the cars to fit us, where people actually will get in different cars and they try to drive what's best for the car. And in reality, us three guys, we leave the same. If we're bottom ball racing, we leave the same, whether we're leaving on a foot brake or the trans brake. And we adapt the cars to our driving style. And, to be honest with you, you got, the thing that we are is we're We're disciplined. We believe in ourselves, and we understand how things work. And, you know, when you go on a drought, I think we're mentally stronger than most. We're not any more talented. Education-wise, I'd have to say Jake and Peter's pretty smart, but it goes to show you don't have to be bright to be good drag racer, because as far as bright, I'm probably the low man on the totem pole whenever it comes to us three. But you know what? I feel like when we're in the race car, I'm as smart as they are, maybe even smarter. But you got to believe in yourself, and I always say one thing about racers, and I think the new generation's forgot. A guy that that gets in there and tells you how good they are doesn't mean they're that good. If you just go in there and drive and do your job and win, to me, it speaks for itself. And, you know, just Jeggy, I always looked up to him because he's pretty much got everything going. You know, he's got the business side of it going. He's got everything. And to me, he's always been a down-to-earth person and carries himself well. And you know, I just, he can get into anything and win. And it's nothing about the business, why they've done success or had success or what. He's actually a pure driver, and that's kind of the way I wanted to model myself is I don't really care about anything, how I look. I just want to get in there and give it all. And, you know, I still race the same in 2014 as I did in pretty much 1991 when I started. So I just keep it, you know, I keep it basic.
Six different classes. There's three guys. What about seven? What move can you make? Where can you go? Is that now something that we need to track? Which of the classes? I know Peter has tried to run Top Dragster a few times and come close. Jeggy obviously has got the Pro Stock thing going right now, so might not spend a ton of time, but has been known to go out and try something different. Is this now something that you guys, and I'm asking you, obviously, because I've got you on the phone right now, is this something you would try to pursue to become the first to win seven?
No, sir. I'm content with it. Really what I want to do is I want to just try to win the world championship in comp. And that's where I'm going to – I don't have a top dragster. I've never really entered in top drag. I won the IHRA world championship top dragster. But as far as NHRA side, you know, maybe down the road I would. But that's not a big deal. It'd probably be cool to do it, but in reality, I don't have a top dragster car, a top sportsman car, and, you know, maybe I'll put the feel out, if somebody let me drive their car, I might do that, but you know, just being on that list with those guys, to me, you know, that's pretty cool. I'm kind of low-keyed whenever it comes to that, but it'd be kind of cool to do it.
Sounds like you're warming up to the idea right now. You know, I think the phone might ring.
Well, maybe I'll throw my name. Anybody got top sportsman, top dragster car out and want to run at a national event, get in touch with me.
Oh, well, we'll see. I think you just opened a can of worms right there, Scotty.
I got a fire suit and ready.
There you go. Congratulations. Thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. This is exactly what we're trying to do with this show, is take people who are maybe fans of the Mellow Yellow series and show them there are different layers to this sport. And at the same time, some of the sportsman racers, we had Greg Anderson on a little bit earlier. And so it's one big community of car guys and out there racing. And I just think what you have done over the years has been very impressive. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing it with us. I do appreciate it.
No problem. Hopefully we'll get on it again after a couple national event wins.
Well, you already said you're gunning for the world championship in comp with this car. And I know Vinny, judging by the response this weekend, he's highly motivated. So it's going to be very interesting to watch you guys as you go through the year. We will definitely be tracking it and hopefully have you on again.
All right. Thank you a lot for your time, buddy.
Thanks, Scotty. Scotty Richardson with us here on WFO Radio, one of the NHRA's 50 greatest racers of all time, and adds another class. Now he has one in six. And at first he was like, nope, not going to try to win seven. Well, maybe. Immediately. And I agree. I think that it is the nature of the competitor to try and separate themselves from other competitors, regardless of whether or not they are great friends or not. And now you've got Jeg, you've got Peter, you've got Scotty. They've all won six, and I don't, off the top of my head, know which six that each has won. For instance, Jeg has won in pro stock. Scotty and Peter have not won in pro stock. So they could win one in pro stock if they got the opportunity, but that would be really hard and really expensive. On the other side, there are classes that are new now. I know Peter is trying to win in top dragster. As far as I'm concerned, that is inevitable, as it just depends on how many races get entered and who will become the first to seven. That is a great question, a fun question. And there's only three guys to do it. Now, there's a bunch of guys. Greg Stanfield is one who has won in five eliminators. But Greg has then been focused on pro stock for so many years. And as time goes by, that number is going to continue to grow. Scotty Richardson, great interview. Very much appreciative to the listener who called me and put me on the track to that one. Thank you so much. I believe his name is Don from Canada. Don, way to go. Absolutely awesome. All right, when we come back, the K&N Spring Fling Vegas. It was a couple of weeks ago. I'm already getting press releases about the Bristol Spring Fling coming up not long from now. In fact, here's the story. You're going to love this, just since it just came in. Top Fuel at the K&N Spring Fling 5-Day in Bristol, Tennessee. Actually, the Top Fuel class will not be competing at the K&N Spring Fling, but the reigning NHRA Mellow Yellow Top Fuel World Champion, Sean Langdon, will be there looking to score a win on the 1,000-foot racing surface. Although the timing of the event has posed a dilemma for the champ, certainly no stranger to 1,000-foot racing, Sean Langdon, yada yada, going to run the Spring Fling. It's a long press release. I think it is great. Did you see the show Rise of the Machines with Langdon? I'll talk about it at the tail end of this thing because it was really great. I know we touched on it, but it's something that you need to go to the website. It's available on demand anytime, a lot like WFO. We'll be back with the K&N Spring Fling winners right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's eagle is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to competitionplus.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Getting ready for a little Houston action. A couple of weeks ago, though, we opened a can of worms, so to speak, with the Terminator, Peter Biondo. We were talking about the K&N Spring Fling out there in Vegas. Well, we actually got the opportunity to speak with a couple of the winners from that event. I think this is the perfect show to do it on. So joining us now, he was the Super Pro winner Friday at the K&N Spring Fling out there in Vegas. He joins us now, Rodney Snyder. Rodney, welcome to WFO. Congratulations.
Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate that. It was a great show out there in Vegas, and we had a good time and made a good run on that Friday.
A good several runs. We have an audience that is mostly focused on the Mellow Yellow Series, the Nitro Cars, the Pro Stockers, etc. And we're often talking with them about bracket racing and how it's hard. It's tough stuff to get out there and battle it out. For you to go through and win a Spring Fling race, that had to be a tremendous accomplishment for you. Was this the biggest race that you have won?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest ones I won. You know, last year I made it to the final in the same night on Friday night and lost. So I was runner-up last year on the same night.
Wow. So rolling out of there last year, you had to be feeling a little bit bittersweet. Good day, but oh, so close.
It was really close. And it's a long day. You know, we start early morning and hell, it goes all the way to close to midnight. And I think it was 9 rounds this year to get to the final.
My goodness. So when you went home last year, did you say to yourself, did you make a decree? Was there an axe to grind with yourself that you wanted to come back and go one round further this year? Was that something you were shooting for, or just another day at the racetrack where you're always trying to win and things went your way?
Well, I was trying to shoot for it. You know, it's such a long day that you got to get into a rhythm. And when there was, I think we had well close to 500 cars, it takes a while to get a rhythm built. You know, we don't see the third round until late in the afternoon. So once it got rolling for me, I also had I had a chance to make a perfect pass, which is a perfect light, trip zip on the light, and a dead on zero run as well.
You made a perfect pass?
I made a perfect pass, the first and only one I've ever made.
Were you running against someone? Did you, like, do that to someone? Do they have it on a pin board somewhere, or was it a by run?
Nope, I did it against somebody.
Oh, my goodness. I almost want to ask their name, but I'm going to spare them.
Exactly.
You ever had a perfect run dropped on you?
No, I never have not put on me. I had a pretty good run. I had some good lights. I had a couple of trip zero lights as well, so you got to bring your A game up out there. There's a lot of big hitters to show up.
What kind of car were you racing in the K&N Spring Fling?
I race a 1963 Chevy Corvette Roadster. It's a Richard Bowling piece out of Tennessee.
Okay, so kind of like what we see out there battling it out in Super Gas, just not on the stop.
Right. I don't run it on the stop. It was all out. You know, we had to switch from 1,000 feet to 8 mile out there with the weather that rolled in.
All right, so as the day is going by, you start clicking off rounds, you're getting into a rhythm. At what point did you say to yourself, hey, I'm feeling it today, things are going well?
That was in the fourth round. I had to run a guy that I ran last year in the competition. I put together a trip zip, like a dead-on seven package, a seventh out package, I think is what I had. That was in the fourth round, so then I knew we had it working pretty good. The car was pounding out some pretty solid numbers, and as long as I could focus on the tree and stay focused on it, I thought I had a pretty good chance to run it for a while.
How much maintenance do you do, or how much, not necessarily maintenance, that's not the best word, but how much tuning have you been putting into your car to get it to repeat, whether it be reaction time or consistency? If you're talking about having multiple perfect reaction times, the listeners know that 1/1000th of a second on the other side of that, your race is over, and yet you were able to straddle the line. That tells me you've got a very consistent machine.
Yeah, you know, I spend quite a bit of time keeping my car consistent as far as engine, valve train, transmission, things of that nature. And I try to really focus on staging the car exactly the same spot every time so that I can, you know, roll the delay box down tight when you're running against a lot of big players that show up to that type of race.
Who would you say is the biggest player you raced over the course of the day en route to victory?
Oh, probably the Val Torres group again. He won out in Pomona, you know, the first,
sure,
the first race of the season he won. I raced them, I raced Val Torres Jr. in their roadster, and I raced him in the dragster late in, that was in the final actually. And I had to race him last year in the quarterfinals and got him beat. So I think that camp probably knows who I am by now.
And isn't that what it's all about? You've got touring racers. Do you run any national events?
Yeah, not really. I don't follow the national program. I more go to the big bracket races.
All right, but you showed up and you let them know. Now, what about the event? We had Peter on a couple of weeks ago, and I really understand and appreciate what he and Kyle Seipel are trying to do with these races to make it this fun environment, and even if you lose, you might win, and it's just a great collection. We used to have, and we still have, a race here in South Florida, the five-day bracket race. That was one of the first big money, hey, travel to this event kind of bracket races, and they're working real hard to bring that thing back. But Peter and Kyle seem to have really caught fire with this event, and racers love to go to it.
Yeah, you know, they put on a great show. There's a lot of activities, a good racer party, and good quality racing racers show up as well. So that helps out a lot. And I race with my wife and my son, so we brought three cars out. We had our dragster. My wife runs a 66 Nova, and I had my car. So it's a good family atmosphere, and it really puts a lot of emphasis on the whole group. You know, 500 racers strong is quite a big showing.
That is a huge showing. Now, for the people who are aspiring bracket racers, which is the real motivation that I do these kind of things, I find it fun. And I know people in the audience, they've got a station wagon with wood on the sides or maybe big aspirations. What would you say to those people, Rodney, that might motivate them to go try bracket racing the first time in their lives, to go out there and put a dial in on a car and run down the track and try to turn on some wind lights?
Well, I would probably tell them to remember that it doesn't matter how fast your car is in ET. A consistent car, it can be 10 seconds slower than my car, but a consistent car and work hard on the tree, drive the stripe pretty good, you can race and compete with anybody in bracket racing. It's not the person with the most money wins. It's the person that has the best day and puts together a little bit of luck and a little bit of skill, and by the end of the day, you'll probably be turning on a lot of wind lights.
That is great. Rodney, congratulations. And in case anyone's out there in Colorado, let's give a little plug to your business out there. The way the team is funded, I would imagine. You've got a pretty good automotive-based center out there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I've got a place called Scotty Muffler. We have a pretty large store in Grand Junction. We have a lube center and a car wash and detail and a full-service repair facility and mufflers and trailer hitches. Got a nice big facility here in Grand Junction. We're on the western slope of Colorado, so we're close to Utah, quite a ways from Denver. And we've been here 35 years and raised our families here, and it's a very nice place to live.
It is very cool, and if any of our listeners are ever out there and looking for a place for a little repair, maybe they will swing by. One final question for you, Rodney. Reaction time or driving the finish line? Which is more important to you? Which do you think is more important to winning bracket races?
No doubt it's on the tree. Reaction time, number one.
All right. Very, very cool. Congratulations on your win at the K&N Spring Fling out there in Vegas. Very cool thing. Congratulations on your win. Friday night Super Pro, that is a huge, huge deal. Did you get a giant check?
I did get a diet check. Yes, I did. Peter and Kyle put on a great show for everybody.
Is the giant check really, like, the best thing about it?
Oh, of course, yeah. It's not about the money. It's about the party that comes with it.
It's like Happy Gilmore, the big giant checks. They don't really cash, but they're very cool to look at. Rodney, thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Rodney. And from Super Pro at the Spring Fling, let's go over to Pro. I picked two winners to have on WFO Radio randomly, just randomly. And this gentleman, he did it. He's gone back-to-back 2 years in a row in Pro ET. How do you do that? Let's bring him on. Joining us now, Sunday Spring Fling winner in Vegas a couple weeks back, Ryan Mangus. Ryan, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Good, good. Glad to be here. Very fortunate. I'm glad I was the lucky one to be on your show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a follower, and it's pretty cool.
Oh, that is wonderful. That is wonderful that you've actually heard of the program. We're actually reaching out constantly to the sportsman racers, to the bracket racers. I know that there's a lot of time spent on the road that needs killing, boredom. And so let's do a little something. Back-to-back wins at the Spring Fling. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. At drag racing, it's very humble and takes a lot of luck, and definitely quite the accomplishment to do it twice. I'm very happy with that.
Now, let's set the table, because you are a bracket racer and you got a bracket car, but you won the Spring Fling in a legal NHRA stock eliminator car. Of course, Pro ET and Super Pro, maybe we need to make that distinction for the audience out there. You are stomping on the pedal, correct?
Correct. I am leaving off the pedal. Flopping feet, as we call it. Yeah.
Foot braking, unlike in Super Pro, where there's delay boxes and you're letting go of a button and there's a trans brake, which is very competitive and difficult, obviously. Foot braking has its own level of competition, which is very, very difficult as well. More in the arena of repeatability. It's a little harder to repeat great reaction times. Would you agree?
I agree, yes. I've hit the top before and run some Super Pro, and I definitely think bottom is definitely a little tougher. As far as the top goes, I'm not very good at it, but the bottom I seem to do well, so I kind of stick to the bottom. But it's definitely a big difference in consistency wise.
And you have been really strong lately. Coming into the Spring Fling, you had been running and racing pretty well. Tell us about that.
The weekend before, I was at the Vegas National, and I was fortunate enough to make it to the final there, where Peter Biondo, the guy that actually hosts the Spring Fling, took me out. But it was a good race, and hopefully I can, be back there again. So it definitely was a good 2 weeks.
You are in the news. You are an answer to a rare trivia question. When the Terminator doubled in Vegas, who did he beat in Stock Eliminator? You're the answer.
Yeah, correct. So it's, yeah.
But you were able to get back the following week by carving a little of that back.
Correct. Yeah, it was definitely nice to take a little bit back out of, Peter's bankroll a little bit. But, I got to give hats off to those guys. The event they bring out here to the West Coast, the Spring Fling and K&N and Peter and Kyle is quite an awesome event, and we're very fortunate that they've actually brought out a race like that to the West Coast, because out here, bracket racing like that, with that kind of dollar amount that they put up, is pretty rare out here. So hats off to those guys, definitely.
I am hearing such great things about Peter and Kyle as promoters, mostly, I would imagine, because they are racers and having experienced racetracks and what they like and what they don't like along the way, they can do a pretty good job to narrow it down. But what about what they do is so appealing that so many racers are showing up to battle it out in the probably most difficult shark-infested bracket racing water that is going on right now, except for maybe the Million and a couple of others?
Yeah. Obviously the dollar amount, varying another race like that pays this well for 3 days of racing. I mean, for the bottom, it's, 3, 5, 10, and 5. I mean, that's just, we've never seen anything out here on the West Coast. And, I think when you bring that out here, people see that and, and all the prizes they offer and they just treat you really well. I mean, it's all about the sportsman guy and it's all about you. And then, I'm, getting interviewed for a radio show, it's pretty awesome. So, the way they make you feel is definitely, class,
Customer service. It is always, always king. Let's talk about your day. At what point did you feel like I might have it today? I might feel like this could be going right.
You know, actually felt pretty good going into the weekend. Obviously after the runner up, you know, my lights were just, I've just been really, really focused. And doing really well and being very consistent. And, you know, I bit myself a little bit over the weekend and had a couple red lights and made a few mistakes at the finish line. And I told my buddy, T.W. Hofer, who's a good friend of mine that I raced with, I said, you know, today I gotta fix this. You know, I need to make it right. So I go out first round and I go 3,000 red to the guy first round. So thank God that these guys have buyback. And, so I bought back in and I said, you know, we ain't doing that again. So, you know, I backed off the two-step a little bit and brought it down. And I was, I think I was like 22 in the buyback round. And I pretty much stayed there the rest of the day. And and I never had an easy day. It wasn't an easy day. And the whole weekend, you know, the competition they bring out there, and nobody's a slouch, you know. Every person I raced was probably 40 or better on the tree, and on the bottom, that's pretty good, you know. And I just, I was very fortunate and pretty much treat every opponent until the final, where I actually raced a local guy that I've raced with for many years, Rob Strong, who's very, very talented on the top and the bottom. He actually runs his car in Super Pro and Pro, just pulls the box in and out. And he strapped a 002 on me. I got very, you know, he should have beat me, really. But down to the finish line, I did what I do, and got lucky a little bit, and he broke out by 6,000, and I was, you know, over by 2, so it was very good.
You dropped the anchor on him.
Dropped the anchor, yeah, or dropped a leg of pot, like some people like to say, or wrecked it on him, as Jed Pennington would say.
There's so much lingo that the bracket racers have. It's like a subset of a subset of a subset. There's a whole nother language that the audience out there could get to know if they spent a little time out there.
Correct. It's a funny story. I had a friend come out that didn't know much about drag racing, and we were sitting there talking with some friends, and we're talking about numbers and all the lingo, and he comes up to me after, and he goes, man, it's like you guys were talking a whole nother language. I didn't even know what you were talking about. So, yeah, definitely.
Over the course of the day, who would you say was the biggest hitter, the biggest name that you had to race and beat?
I'm trying to think who I raced. I mean, Rob Strong, probably because I know Rob Strong in the final. The race brings out so many people. There's just so many different people I don't know or, you know, don't follow because, you know, the local bracket scene is very big and there's a lot of good, you know, people out there. But I would say the final was probably against Rob Strong was probably the one that I was, you know, a little bit because he's, like I said, he's very capable and it shows, you know, he's 002 in the final. So, probably him because I know him and I know his background. You know, there was, I believe, in the quarterfinals, there was a guy from Division 5, and somebody told me he was a pretty big hitter. And it was a great race. I was actually 005 to his 18. And a funny thing, on that round, the car actually chattered the tires when it left the starting line. And I went, oh, crap. You know, I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to run the number. So, you know, fortunately, I legged it, and I was 2 over the dial to the wood, you know. And he was 18 on the tree, and he actually went down there and dropped and pretty much, I think he could have got there, and he pretty much gave me the race a little bit, but, you know, the 005 actually got me the bye run to the final, and we went back and made some adjustments with the tires and got it to hook on the bye run, seemed to be good. So,
a little 2-for-1 action into the final, and you were set, and you battled back. All right, the wind light comes on. You have won back-to-back. The money, the glory, all of it, and the pressure at that moment. I wish I could convey that to the audience. Like, when the final wind light comes on and your brain is computing the fact that that's it, I've won, it's over.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It's kind of like a big sigh of relief. You know, it's like you said, it's a feeling you can't explain. You know, some people are, are a little bit more mellow, I think, you know. I was pretty excited. It's very exciting, you know, to be, you know, to win a race like that, you know, and the stress, you know, we started the day at, you know, 7:30 in the morning, and my final time slip's at 9:30. So, you know, your mental through the day is tough. And then, you know, to get there and win, and then to do it twice is awesome. So it's a feeling and that's why I come back. And that's why I think all drag racers race is for that feeling. And obviously the money helps, but, you know, it's definitely an awesome, awesome feeling.
The money does help. I will say that. Guys are in bowling leagues. I don't know if it's free or what they're doing it for, but they're definitely not taking home a big check. What about the big check? I asked Rodney about it. What about you? I would imagine it's up on the wall somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually sitting in my office at work right now, and I've got, fortunate enough, I actually have a third big check. So I have three big checks, and for me, that's very awesome. You know, I've been fortunate enough to go back east and race at some races and meet like Todd Ewing and stuff, who has his garage is plastered with big checks, and actually have, you know, after seeing that and actually have some is quite the accomplishment. You know, I compare big checks to Wally's. I think they're about equal to me in my opinion. So it's pretty awesome.
I have neither. And so I think I'm in a good place to judge. I think the big check is really cool to have, especially after the whole Happy Gilmore thing.
Oh yeah, that's the big joke is the Happy Gilmore. Yeah, the checks you throw them in the back of the car. It's pretty awesome. So,
there you go.
I think it says a statement. You know, when you see them somewhere, you see these big checks for big dollars. It's pretty awesome.
Absolutely, it is. Ryan, congratulations on your win at the K&N Spring Fling Pro ET on Sunday. Very, very cool. It is a race that these guys have obviously worked very hard to make it. We had Peter on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he had just doubled up, which is kind of an interesting storyline, that it was against you in stock. Then you go back and win the race, tying the whole thing together in just a perfect fashion for the radio show. I love it, and thank you so much. Now, where are you going to race next? Maybe some of our listeners out west want to see you. What else do you have on the schedule for this year? Any more national events, or will it be next Vegas race?
It'll be probably a couple regional events, on the divisional level. We've got Fallon coming up. There's a national open here locally where I live at Fontana at the Auto Club Speedway. Along with some Summit racing stuff that I'll probably bring my Nova out to. But yeah, I'll definitely be on the tour. I'll be at Sonoma and all the local, you know, Division 7 races, and we'll see how it goes. You know, I've got a little bit of points now, and maybe try to chase down a top 10 in the world, or, you know, top 5 in the division would be awesome again. So just got to thank Kyle Rizzoli, who actually owns the car, and the Rizzoli family. They actually helped me out a lot, and Hoosier Tires and my dad Ron Mangus, you know, without all them, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. So
excellent. I think it is great, and I'm really happy to have you and Rodney both on the show. Both names that start with R. No coincidence there. A thing out there. Ryan and Rodney, both winners at the K&N Spring Fling. Ryan, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on WFO Radio and helping our audience a little bit understand exactly the level of passion and determination that is out there among the bracket racers in the world. This is a huge race that you've won, and you absolutely earned it. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate the time, and appreciate what you're doing for us with your show. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Ryan Mangus and Rodney Snyder with us here on WFO Radio. They won the Spring Fling in Vegas, and I was sent a list of names, and I used the Cosmic Forces to pick those two to be on WFO Radio, and just very cool. First of all, both sounded like professional drivers, as in they got the interview part of it down. Maybe some of the big sponsors out there will jump on board with these guys, but I find that to be true of most drag racers and bracket racers. They can communicate very well, and they are obviously very humble people, because the backbone of this sport, what is the core of the sport? The core is losing. Everybody loses many, many, many times. Over the course of a baseball season, the best possible baseball season ever, you're going to lose at least 50 games. At least you're going to lose. in drag racing and bracket racing, the losing ratio is probably even higher, especially bracket racing. You go out there, there are people who have done it their whole lives and have never won an event. Never. They've been battling Saturday nights, showing up every week, and they have never won. And you wonder, like, how is that possible? They're showing up every single week. They're just not able to break through. And then there are people who just do it all the time, and they're winning all the time. Are they doing something different? Yes, obviously. What is it? Who knows? Or maybe the people who aren't winning know exactly what to do and can't execute. There are things like nerves and nervousness and performing under pressure and reactions, and there's a physical side to it, even though we kind of deny it. It is true. Whether you let go of the button or you're shifting gears, you got to see the RPM hit a certain RPM, like Alan Reinhart was telling us about, a perfect example at the start of the show. Again, to tie it all together, he made a physical slash mental error and lost. And that's it. Race was over. It's a very tough go of it. These guys, to win out there in Vegas, they did something special. And I'm very happy to have them on the show. Speaking of the show, what's over? That's it. It's done. But every now and again, I'll drop a little commentary here at the tail end. And I got a couple of things that I want to just put out there. For instance, Rise of the Machines. It was great. If you have a friend who doesn't know or understand drag racing, Top Fuel in particular, you should have them watch it. The audio notwithstanding, that's me being overly critical. I totally get why they would use race car sounds as opposed to Nitro Dragster sounds, because I don't even know what those Nitro Dragster sounds would be like. But if you watch it and you have a keen ear, you'll pick up on that. Everything else I thought was great. Sean and Alan as humans. I don't think there's ever been a better representation of them as people. And Antron Brown as a person, as a guy, as a character, as a person that you're rooting for. There's been a lot of debate about that in the world of drag racing. Once upon a time, the cars were the stars, but people don't root for cars. People root for people. And so the people are the stars. And now that's why NASCAR has become so popular, is because people are not really rooting for the Chevy SS 24. They're rooting for Jeff Gordon. And they know Jeff. They know what he's like. They like him. And when he moves to a different car, they're going to root for him. Same with Dale Jr. and all the big personalities. Rooting for personalities. And in drag racing, we are challenged because, number one, there are so many personalities. Just people upon people from all over the country, and who only races on the West Coast, and who only races on the East Coast, and what class, and what are they doing. And there is often not enough time to get to know their personalities, what they are like, what they think, what they deal with. In NASCAR, every driver is covered a million different ways. Drag racing, not so much. That's why we started WFO Radio. That's why the mobile app is out there. That's why you can listen on Stitcher. We want you to be able to know the personalities of your favorite drivers. So you're not just rooting for the red car. You're rooting for the car with the Ray and Morrison throwback paint scheme because Scotty Richardson grew up loving Lee Sheppard. That's the information you need to have. But it's not really available in too many other places. I'm proud of that fact. But the show Rise of the Machines did an excellent job of showing the sport. Some details, what was a qualifying race, what was a race. Of course, there's going to be a little creative license in the television program. But if you've got a friend who doesn't understand drag racing, you could probably show them this and they will probably become interested. Cool animations, cool visual effects. And the best part showed Alan Johnson and Sean Langdon and Langdon's mom and his family and how important, and Antron as the competitor but still a good guy, and there was a mutual respect. It was reality style. And this is the new segment that I am creating called Spending Other People's Money, which is really what this whole exercise is. That is, I think, the prototype. Maybe a little more reality television behind the scenes, showing what's going on with these guys. That was one race. It was 1 hour devoted to two drivers and a lot of tech stuff on the car. But I think you got to know the people so much better. You see Sean, he's driving in the car, he's going to the track, he's telling you about his nerves, he's feeling it, his gut is twisted. I liked all of that. I enjoyed all of that, and I want to see more. I want to see more. Where can I see more? Nowhere. Not yet. And that is the point. I would like to see more of that just on loop. I would like to see it more often. I would like to see, for instance, drag boat racing. I know I can watch drag boat racing on MAV TV at any time and hear Alan Reinhart. It's on there, and I'm watching it, flipping around. Click, click, click. There we have Reinhart. Of course, let's hear what's going on with this class. And I'm learning more about drag boat racing. That's what needs to happen. Competition Plus, it has a great article with Tom Compton, an interview about the TV situation. The TV situation, they're going to do 3 live TV shows this season. Epping, Chicago, Denver. So it will be very, very interesting to see how that all works. But I will summarize the Tom Compton Competition Plus article. He says flat out, they've got the best situation right now with ESPN2. And I agree. At this moment, you've got all these other networks emerging and trying to get going to take on the worldwide leader. But the worldwide leader is still the worldwide leader. And there are a ton of people that don't know anything about drag racing at all, except for they see it occasionally on ESPN2. That is worth something. But it's a good read. Check it out. Our great friends at Competition Plus, Bobby Bennett. I see Susan Wade has got a commentary about no labels, girl racers, and all the different stuff. Maybe we'll have Susan on at some point in the future. Well, that's going to do it. Get into the thank yous. Thanks, obviously, to the Spring Fling winners, Ryan Mangus and Rodney Snyder. Great job. They got the big check, the Happy Gilmore check. I always wanted one of those Happy Gilmore checks. A friend of mine got one. A couple of friends got them. I never got one. But it's not over yet. Maybe there's a big check in my future at some point. I got to get back on the track, and I've been working on it. We've been working on a race car. We're going to be back out there eventually. The over-under, the real battle is, when will I write another column or when will I get back on the track? Which will happen first? Skype us your thoughts. Also, thanks to Scotty Richardson for coming on the show. A lot of honesty there, just kind of opened it up. That's what we want to do here on the show. Larry Dixon. The Dixon situation, I hope he can get a win. Just like Jimmy Olland, Larry's got limited opportunities, but he's got a good car, he's a tough racer, and he's got the skills and abilities. Wouldn't it be great if Larry could get a win? I think it would do a lot for bringing in sponsorship. Of course, Greg Anderson. Greg, it's just breaking pretty much now in the rest of the world that Greg is going to be out there. Press releases hitting, Greg is racing, Greg is racing, Greg is racing. We've got the timing absolutely right here on WFO. And Alan Reinhart. Alan took a whooping on the track to Tommy D, but he always does a great job at the start of these WFO radio shows. And he likes the turbocharger idea. That's what happens with technology. It advances. Then again, it might already be there, and I just not be aware of it. That is going to do it. Thank you so much to everyone who listens to the show. And once again, thanks to Marvin Rodak from Fort Worth, Texas. RodaksCoffeeAndGrill.com. Great custom roasted coffee. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Marvin. And keep those recipes coming. I do appreciate it. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you. Ignition this week. Bob Barsha, Fox Sports Formula One discussion. If you like Formula One, if you like the high-tech world, the uber-expensive high-tech world of Formula One, that the United States is now getting back into with Gene Haas, makers of Haas CNC machines, with Haas Formula, the new team. Will it be 2015? Will it be 2016? What are they going to do, or how are they going to do it? Bob Barsha going to be on. I know there's a lot of crossover between the NHRA audience and the Formula One audience, and of course NASCAR. That goes without saying. All right, thanks to everyone involved here on WFO Radio. We'll see you next time. Don't forget, share the show, tweet, retweet, repeat, share, 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 and download that app.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.